Israel.
President Obama is scheduled to meet with Libya's new leader in New York today. A minibus explosion rocked a crowded street in the Turkish capital of Ankara. Journalist Andrew Finkel says there are some injuries and damage reported.
We know this minibus blew up. Did it blow up because there was an LPG canister in it, or was it a deliberate explosion? The police and the security and the authorities have cleared the area. Clearly they're concerned that there might be a second explosion if this were a planned attack.
Republicans don't like President Obama's idea of raising taxes on the wealthy to help cut $3 trillion from the federal deficit over the next 10 years. However, CNN senior political analyst David Gergen says many people agree with the president when he says the tax code isn't fair.
What I think the president has hit upon is something that he thinks works, and it shows up in the opinion polls. There are an awful lot of Americans who think it's time to raise taxes on the wealthy.
Gays can now serve in the U.S. military. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy officially ended at midnight. Some gay service members are wasting no time coming out of the closet, but critics are worried this will chase away some loyal troops. 1 million people on Japan's central coast have been urged to leave because of an approaching typhoon. Roke has winds of 115 miles per hour and is expected to make landfall tomorrow. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Your life is on your computer. Family photos, music collections, email. What if a hard drive crash or virus wiped out those files tomorrow? That's why you need Carbonite Online Backup today. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically. They're kept safely off-site, and it's easy to get them back. Carbonite gives you unlimited backup for only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code LIFE and get 2 bonus months with purchase. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code LIFE.
Perlman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Looking for a ray of hope in a gloomy job market? There's an app for that. More specifically, an app industry. A University of Maryland study concludes apps for websites such as Facebook and mobile devices such as smartphones and tablets have created an entire app economy, and that more than 182,000 jobs have been created by the app industry for Facebook alone. Toys R Us is out with its list of what it thinks will be the 15 hottest toys for the holidays, and guess who's on it again? Elmo. But it's not Tickle Me, one of the biggest toy sensations of all time. This one is Let's Rock Elmo from Hasbro. The toys on Toys R Us' so-called Fabulous 15 range in price from $6 Moshi Monsters to Mattel's Power Wheels Dune Racer for $280. An S&P downgrade of Italy's credit has not derailed European market gains. Most indexes up modestly. S&P futures are gaining 10 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you're part of running a business, you know your mind works differently.
Heating costs, cooling costs, reducing costs.
You've always got decisions on your mind.
How do I trim my budget back and still watch my employees' backs?
Choosing Aflac should be an easy decision. It's a way to enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your business. Aflac is insurance for things like accidents or critical illness, and it pays cash benefits directly to help cover things major medical doesn't. It's like a safety net for your employees. And since it's voluntary, it doesn't cost your business a cent, because you've already got enough on your mind.
Taking care of business, taking care of my people.
Buy a plush duck for $10, and Aflac will donate $20 to the fight against childhood cancer. Join us in supporting critical research and medical breakthroughs at the Aflac Cancer Center. Join the cause at Aflac.com/friends.
Your life is on your computer. Family photos, music collections, email. What if a hard drive crash or virus wiped out those files tomorrow? That's why you need Carbonite Online Backup today. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically. They're kept safely off-site, and it's easy to get them back. Carbonite gives you unlimited backup for only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code LIFE and get 2 bonus months with purchase. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code LIFE. We'll be right back.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with some... of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan, embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Trupiano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in. It requires First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this glorious Tuesday morning. Always glorious when I get to spend some time with you, as I do this morning, and glad to be here. A lot of information that we want to get through as we work our way throughout the day today, so you're going to want to stay with us. A little bit of carryover from yesterday, some new stuff today. Cindy Estrada, UAW Vice President, will be with us. Certainly, we'll be asking her about the GM-UAW deal, although they will announce the full repercussions of that at a press conference at 11 o'clock this morning. So I would imagine that there are just going to be certain things she's not going to be able to tell us. But she actually has a much bigger fight on her hand, on her hands, as she is the lead negotiator for state workers and their ongoing struggle as Governor Snyder is demanding a $145 million cut in that on that state contract, and we'll get an update from Cindy on that, I can assure you. So let's get it started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, you know, our first word today is ending, or maybe it's beginning. Today marks the end or the beginning of a new era in the United States military. Don't ask, don't tell. Is now dead. And today it is fully, we have a fully integrated military. Despite your sexual orientation, you can no longer legally be discriminated against and in policy and in any other way in the U.S. military. And I believe that it's an important step, you know, keeping in mind that the United States is one of the last armies, the last militaries to throw caution to the wind, if you will. But certainly a day of equality, certainly a day to be mindful and to remember that somebody's sexual orientation has little or nothing is more appropriate to do with their ability to serve their country in a patriotic way. Congratulations to the LGBT community, as today is truly one step closer, one peg more, if you will, that makes them more equal in the eyes of all of us. And that is today's first word, as well as it should be. What a day yesterday. The whole idea, I'm going to get to the First Shift Facebook poll question of the day, because it is actually a carryover from yesterday's show. And I'm going to tell you why I carried this over. If you go to the First Shift Facebook page, you'll see the poll question right at the top. And it says, yesterday, our conversation with Stephen Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association, started a flurry of conversation about a statewide teacher strike. If Michigan teachers were to strike because of all they have had to endure since January, would you support them? Now, The reason I carried this over, number one, got a lot of email after the show about that very issue. Number two, I belong to a Facebook group that teachers hang out at, and I posted this question to them, or posed this question to them, you know, during the day. Now, of course, many of them, if not all of them, work as teachers, so they didn't really get around to seeing the question until much later on in the day yesterday. But the response was fascinating and mixed and intriguing and difficult. There's no question that teachers feel beyond slighted. They're hurt. They're not wounded, but they're hurt. And maybe they are wounded to some degree. I mean, that's really the difficult reality of that. But there was a very mixed reaction to the question as whether or not they would strike. Some said absolutely. Some said absolutely not. And then there was the whole gamut in the middle. So it was quite interesting. So if you feel like you'd like to vote on this, so we did take calls on it yesterday. Certainly we can take calls on it again today. But the point of my question, because there was such great interest in that conversation yesterday, is just to see where you all stand on that issue. So if the teachers were to strike statewide, would you support them? Jeff, I've got to tell you, as we take a look at that question, one of the things that came up, especially on the teacher section of the Facebook group that I belong to, wasn't whether or not they would strike. It's, you know, whether or not parents would support them, because unfortunately, and this did come up during the show yesterday, a lot of parents see, you know, school as free daycare. And they really do see it that way. Not that they don't see the educational value, not that they don't see the wisdom in what's going on, but they do see it as a form of free daycare. And God forbid what would happen. So that is a reality. And so teachers are at some level, and I think understandably, Jeff, they're at some level concerned that parents would turn on them.
Yeah, that was one of the calls we got towards the end of the show yesterday. I was thinking that exact same thing. So when Sue called in, it was like, you know, the theory behind the strike and standing up for somebody and, you know, people getting what they deserve and their pay and their benefits and whatnot, people will stand behind that theory. But then when you get home and you realize, wait a minute, you know, what are we going to do with the kids today? You start thinking, well, I support a strike in theory, but in practicality, for my personal life, you know, you don't think about it until it actually personally affects you. And suddenly you're like, yeah, maybe the strike thing's not such a good idea.
Yeah, but it does bring up an important point, because when we talk about supporting a group of people and then we start personalizing it, internalizing it, which I think is a natural thing to do, I'm not saying that there's anything necessarily wrong with that. At what point do you just suspend that? Do you say, you know what? Although it may be difficult for me personally, it's the right thing to do. And, you know, I still believe America, as blessed as we are still quite selfish to a great degree. And if it affects us in a negative way or it inconveniences us in some way, as much as the dialogue might be, yeah, I would support you, sure I would. The reality is, I wouldn't like it because it affects me negatively. And it makes you wonder. I mean, you certainly aren't creating a congruous community by thinking so selfishly. Not that I don't get it, because it would be a challenge for parents, but if we're going to support teachers, and I think we should, God forbid this were to happen, I think we should support them. You know, maybe one of the ways that we deal with that is that parents take turns, you know, taking care of other people's kids until we get this thing straightened out. But the attack on teachers is obvious at this point, and it's obvious that it's very political. There was a great editorial yesterday in the, or might have been Sunday, in the Holland Sentinel, where they said, you know, do we know the difference between politics and policy at this point? That's an excellent question, and I think it's certainly one well worth exploring.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So interesting stuff. So the poll question's out there, and if you'd like to vote, just go to the First Shift page or just go to Facebook, search for First Shift if you're not already a member, and go ahead and vote. You can send your comments via email, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter @TonyTruppiano, and then last but not least, the good old phone, which we pay for the call, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. 9-5, and we'll be happy to take calls on this today if there are some out there. But, again, the reason that I bring it into today's show, I carry over from yesterday, is there was just such an overwhelming reaction after the show and then, again, within the teachers group. And Jeff, I've got to tell you, especially as I looked at the comments that people were writing in the teacher section, there's, again, a lot of anger, a lot of vitriol towards this governor and this legislature. And there are a lot of teachers that don't understand why more teachers haven't gotten involved, period. Not just in the recall effort, but just more involved. You know, a couple even commented that how difficult it is for them to even look at some of their colleagues in the face, knowing that they're just allowing this to happen. They're not challenging anything because they're afraid for their jobs, which is no way to have to live your life. I'm assuming you'll just agree. We'll go with that. All right, so that's what we've got. What we do have going on today, we just have Cindy Estrada in the 8 o'clock hour. She'll be joining us about 8:20. She's obviously been very busy negotiating with the state of Michigan on a new public sector contract with the state, and we'll certainly get an update on that. That'll be very, very interesting. There are a variety of topics that I want to get to today. Certainly, we're going to talk about the president's debt reduction program, which I think is, of course, is good for America. It involves, by the way, it involves revenue, which means more taxes. So the Republicans are immediately going to be against it, and they've already come out saying they're against it. So that's no secret. We've got some audio that we'll share with you the president's speech yesterday, which again has reignited progressives, and that's a good thing. And the president is finally starting to talk the way progressives and liberals like him to talk. So maybe he's finally moving in the direction that a little more people will feel comfortable. Now we just need the nation to get behind this president and do the right thing and start demanding that we pass the stuff that he's putting out there for us to work on to move the economy and the country forward. What a novel idea. 888-552-3595. We'll take a quick break here on First Shift. Thanks for punching in. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
No problems out there on the freeways right now. We are accident free, so let's hope it stays that way. We do have some road construction. Westbound F-9, that ramp to southbound 75 is currently closed. The eastbound F-9 ramp to northbound 75, that is closed as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, some dense fog before 10 a.m., mostly sunny otherwise, a high near 72. Tonight, more fog once again, partly cloudy, a low around 58. And then tomorrow, showers, maybe some thunderstorms in there as well. Fog once again in the morning, partly sunny, a high near 76. Currently, it's fair and 55 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
For contractors, business comes from bids. And better bids start at the Home Depot, where right now, you can save 15% on special order windows and doors. That means putting great brands and great quality into any job at an even better price. So if you're a pro, get that 15% savings. Then get ready to lower your estimates, be more competitive, and bring on the business. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through September 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, the new president of the Michigan Education Association, Stephen Cook. Why don't the teachers just finally say, enough's enough, we're going to strike?
It's not off the table, but it's just not something that teachers want to do. They want to teach. They don't want to strike. I think they're, in many respects, asking the MEA on their behalf and with their assistance, certainly, to deal with some of these folks.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. I am Tony Trupiano, and thanks for punching in on this early Tuesday morning. No more talk of vacation. By the way, Mr. Radford, understand you had an interesting afternoon yesterday. Don't know if you want to get into the details, but it certainly is a fascinating way to spend your afternoon.
Well, I just thought maybe from now on you would want to do the show the same way I did what I did yesterday.
You know what? No.
Are you sure? You could. This would be great. You could do it live right from your F-150, your brand new truck.
I would have to get at least a cap on it because it's open.
Oh, you want to do it from the bed of the truck?
Well, where would I do it? From the front seat?
Yeah, that's almost basically what happened yesterday. I was doing a remote, and we couldn't get into the place. I have no idea how this gets set up between a sales department and a business.
Now, let me make clear, this was not a Clear Channel remote, so I want to make sure that we absolve Clear Channel from any responsibility in this.
I know, because they're not above this either, but this wasn't them.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, doing another job that I do, and they're supposed to be doing a remote at a bar. And apparently the bar, though, didn't open until well beyond when we're supposed to be there. And so it was locked up, closed up, lights off when we got there. And I sat there for an hour and a half in the rain. And finally, we made an executive decision that somebody was on their way. So we had to start the show, and we would just get in there as soon as somebody opened up. But that meant that the engineer, who likes to call himself the MacGyver of engineering, I have no idea, decided that he would string all these wires out and use the electrical plug on the outside of the bar and turn the van into a makeshift studio. It was one of the most unique things I've ever been a part of, sitting in the backseat of a van doing a show among all kinds of random equipment in one of the craziest parking lots I've ever been in.
Now, how long did you actually have to do the show from the van before you were able to move into the building?
15 minutes.
Oh, so it wasn't that long, thank God.
No, no. But, yeah, it didn't get any better from there. It was just it was a messed up day. I mean, in the rain, you know, and it turns out the reason why someone didn't show up on time is I think they had an emergency and went to the hospital. And so it was just one of those days where
the perfect storm.
Yeah, you just sit back and you just kind of laugh at, you know, how things have gone and you hope the next day is better.
Yeah, well, that can obviously be very frustrating. I'm sure you weren't entirely happy with the way that the afternoon went. We'll leave it there.
No, you know what, though? I mean, you just, like I said, you just play it off, and it's one of those things, like you said this morning to me, it's a story now that I will be able to tell.
Yeah, it is definitely a story now, and not too many people are going to be able to top that story. That's, I guess, the one redeeming feature of the story is very few people can top that. Sitting in a van in a parking lot in a grungy area of town, doing a radio show while it's pouring rain.
Behind a pub.
Yeah. Mm. Pretty much puts you in a very unique category, Jeff. No question that's true. Well, no baseball last night, at least not for the Detroit Tigers. They had the day off. We, of course, are looking. We can now see the end of the season clearly from where we stand. It's not that the Tigers don't have something to play for, even though they've already clinched their division. Home field advantage, three words that teams love. They have something to work towards as they work their way through the last, I think it is, nine games of the season. They're in Kansas City for two games, and then they're home for the remainder of the season. And
did you hear what we talked about yesterday with Justin Verlander? He will pitch this weekend,
yes.
Trying to get win number 25.
Yes, in fact, I read an article this morning that all of the players, apparently, and I did not know this, you probably did, Jim Leland's not a team meeting kind of guy. Did you know that?
Very, very rare does that happen. But, you know, the players have called meetings.
Yes, but he doesn't attend those meetings. No, the players do call meetings, but... So what happened after they clinched on Friday night a lot of the players went up to Skipper and said, hey, listen, I'm not looking to be rested between now and the end of the season. They just independently went up to him, and when they started comparing notes, they realized that a lot of them had done that they weren't looking to be rested. They didn't feel like they needed rest. They understood what was at stake, which, of course, you know, his home field advantage, and they let the skipper know that no, they needed time off. They would let him know, but they didn't see a need to do that. And I think that's great. It's great that they did that.
It's about time. Should have done it last year and the year before that. And no, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, again, I'm certainly very happy for the city of Detroit. Clinching the division's a big deal, but that's only the appetizer, obviously. We want them to do well moving forward. And, Sporting News, which is what now, Yahoo News or Yahoo Sports? Is that what it is?
Radio side is.
No, but not the print side. Okay. Well, anyway, I think it's Sporting News has predicted a Tigers-Phillies World Series.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm starting to get leery. I like it being the underdog and not getting a lot of attention, but suddenly when people pick you as the favorite, doesn't that make you step back a little bit?
Well, I don't see us as the favorite, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, you have to go where conventional wisdom tells you to go, and the Yankees, I think, are the favorite. I think we're still the underdog.
And this was a question too posed yesterday because of, we started thinking, okay, the Tigers are going to get slotted where, you know, even if they finish first in the American League, the only way that they don't play the worst team in the East, which, you know, the worst team in the East out of the four teams, is that if Texas or the Angels end up having a better record. So anyway, for the most part, they're going to play the second team, the wild card team from the East. Who would you rather see, Boston or Tampa Bay?
I'd rather see Boston, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to say that, but I think you're right. It's based on pitching. I think pitching is going to be, obviously it always is in the playoffs, is going to be the key thing. If you look around, I'm not scared of the Yankees pitching. I'm not even scared of Texas's pitching. I'm not scared of Boston's pitching. I am scared of the Angels and the Rays. Those are the two teams that I think have outstanding pitching.
Yeah, in fact, we had swept that series or maybe won three out of four from the Rays, what was it, a month ago? Was it that? However long ago it was. And, you know, escaping that, Jim Leland, about a week after said that was the key to propelling them toward that playoff run. That series beating their pitching was finally what said to him, yeah, I've got a real ball club here that understands what needs to be done. And, he specifically recognized that series is a key series in propelling them towards the playoffs.
Yeah, last year they were 1-6 against Tampa. And it's not like Tampa last year. They had 20... They had, what was it, 25 games or just under 30 games last year of only scoring one run or less. I mean, they got shut out a lot last year, seven times, and then one run, you know, the rest of the time. It was unbelievable. Their offense wasn't the greatest, is what I'm saying. And yet they still won because their pitching is so good.
Yeah, and it is that good. Well, we'll see what happens moving forward. The Tigers play in Kansas City tonight. When we return, President Barack Obama gives a speech to reduce the deficit in this country. The Republicans, especially the Tea Party, already saying, no way, not going to fly. What do you think? We'll get to that on the other side of this. Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking fine out there on the roads right now. Traffic volumes light and moving at posted speeds. We are accident free. Of course, we do have some road construction out there south of Hurley in both directions between 94 up to Grand River. It's going to be down to just one lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, some dense fog this morning, mostly sunny, a high near 72. Tonight, more fog once again late, partly cloudy, a low around 58. After the fog burns up in the morning tomorrow, we'll still have a chance for showers and some thunderstorms. Partly sunny throughout the day, but a high in the mid-70s. Currently, it's fair and 55 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Mortgage rates are as low as 2.5%, 3.0% APR. Go to LendingTree.com or refinance customers save an average of $353 a month or more. Click or call 1-800-578-2208 to find out how much you can save today. That's 1-800-578-2208.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Our Walmart is a workers' movement taking Walmart worker demands for respect on the job directly to the corporate home office. Angie Rodriguez says on top of low wages, too few hours, and a general lack of respect for workers on the job, Walmart has also steadily increased their workload.
When I started with Walmart 7 years ago, I used to work only one department. Now they make me work three departments, and it gives me a lot of stress.
Our Walmart has taken a declaration for respect directly to Walmart's home office to drive home the point that the problems of low wages, too few hours, erratic work schedules, and other issues are not individual problems, but rather a systemic problem throughout the entire Walmart organization. AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Liz Shuler says the labor movement is working hard to forge new connections with young workers. She says that young workers have been hard hit by unemployment, but they're organizing to fight for their future.
It's double that of the national unemployment rate at 18.1%. Student loans are casting a heavy burden on young people as well. They can't afford homes. They, in some cases, can't even financially take care of themselves. So in many ways, this truly is becoming what some people are referring to as the lost generation.
The AFL-CIO's Next Up Conference for Young Workers will be held in Minneapolis September 29th through October 2nd. A new book is out that looks at the impact of women on the gaming community. Jesse Russell spoke with the author.
Casino Women, Courage in Unexpected Places was co-authored by Jill B. Jones and Susan Chandler, who spoke with female casino workers to tell the story of the often invisible employees. The book contrasts the heavily unionized Las Vegas casino culture to the much less so Reno casino culture. Wynn spoke with Jones on Monday, and she explained that one of the benefits of a union having your back in a casino is much less ageist gender discrimination.
If you're working in a unionized property, you don't expect to be either fired or transferred to another department when you reach the point where you no longer look like you're 20 years old. Or, you know, we had a lot of cocktail waitresses in non-unionized properties that talked about the kind of pressure that was brought to bear.
The authors discovered union hotels are able to focus more on service and less on managing physical appearances. Jones gave the example of one cocktail waitress who had her retirement party while they were researching the book.
This woman spent her whole lifetime serving cocktails, and she said it really wasn't about, you know, sexual allure. She said it was about providing service.
For the full interview with Jill B. Jones, visit our website at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Again, 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, as you're up and about getting ready to go to work, or perhaps focusing on trying to find a job. Still way too many of us out of work. And we're going to get into President Barack Obama's speech yesterday on reducing the deficit, which in its own way is a jobs program. No question that's true. Jeff, I did want to quickly mention my appearance on the Steve Hood Show on WADL on Sunday is now posted to our Facebook page for those that are curious as to, you know, how poorly I did.
Poorly.
I did all right. I did all right.
You held your own?
I did hold my own. There's no question that's true. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a great deal. And Steve is a very gracious host. And although we didn't have a chance to talk a whole lot either before or certainly after because he was taping the show, he's certainly a progressive. He is a political consultant outside of his television persona. But anyway, if people would like to check out the September 18th edition of the Steve Hood Show. Detroit Needs to Know is the name of the program. And again, it's heard every Sunday, it's actually aired every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on Channel 38. Or check your cable guide for local listings.
Look at you looking all spiffy with a suit on and all done up.
Yeah, but you know, the Republican had the bling and had the $500, $600, $700 suit on.
Well, they're a job creator, so they gotta. I have no idea where I'm going with this, but yeah, job creators. I just want to keep saying
he
that.
Looked the part. He had the Republican costume on. I had the Democrat costume on. No question, that's true. Well, listen, President Barack Obama, making people happy since 2011. He's had a tough haul. There's no question, Jeff, he's had a tough haul. But he gave a speech yesterday about reducing the deficit in this country. Now, again, I automatically know, as do many of you, that the Republicans are just not going to be happy with what he's proposing because it does require an increase of revenue, which means an increase in taxes. I just don't know why we can't speak in plain English anymore in the political realm, but we can't. But I will. This is about increasing taxes to some. So let's listen to some of what the president had to say yesterday.
Middle-class families shouldn't pay higher taxes than millionaires and billionaires. That's pretty straightforward. It's hard to argue against that. Warren Buffett's secretary shouldn't pay a higher tax rate than Warren Buffett. There's no justification for it. It is wrong that in the United States of America, a teacher or a nurse or a construction worker who earns $50,000 should pay higher tax rates than somebody pulling in $50 million.
And how can anybody disagree with that? That's the part I don't get. And, there are those that say, well, why are you penalizing those that have done well? Well, can't you turn that argument around and say, why are you penalizing those that have not done as well? Should really the lower class be paying a higher percentage of their wages in taxes? I mean, this is just not fair. It's just not fair. Now, if somebody feels like they can justify doing it the way they're doing it, and if you're going to give me that, well, they create jobs, we don't have the data to support that. We just don't. But feel free to do it. 888-552-3595.
And see, that's the thing. I think what you just said is one thing that just, for some reason, has floated by people, and they haven't realized it. These people that are saying, well, why, you can't come after the people who are successful in this country. That the country's built on, that idea that anyone can be successful and wealthy, and now you're trying to tax us? It's like, okay, so what's the alternative? To tax those who haven't done as well? Yeah, what's the biggest thing? The first thing that I was watching CNN, and I was watching CNN when he gave this speech. The first thing that they said after the speech ended was talking about, well, you know what the Tea Party and Republican response is going to be, that 49% of the country doesn't pay any taxes at all. That's because they can't afford it.
Yeah, that's the one part of the conversation. They never finished that sentence, Jeff. That sentence never gets finished. You're right. They don't pay federal taxes. Now, that's only federal taxes, by the way. They do pay state taxes. They don't pay federal taxes because their threshold is too low for them to pay them. But, yeah, they don't bring that up. And as we learned a couple weeks ago, Jeff, that 49% of people that don't pay taxes own refrigerators. A lot of them do.
How dare they?
Honestly. Well,
they're always bragging about their cold food.
Yeah, imagine that. Fresh, cold food that doesn't waste and spoil that they can actually utilize. God, what do we expect in this world? Now, one of the problems I personally have, which obviously, again, those on the other side, the more conservatives amongst you, don't have a problem with, is the Grover Norquist pledge that almost every single Republican lawmaker at the federal level signed that said, we refuse to raise taxes. Well, the president had something to say about that as well.
Anybody who says we can't change the tax code to correct that? Anyone who has signed some pledge to protect every single tax loophole so long as they live, they should be called out. They should have to defend that unfairness. Explain why somebody who's making $50 million a year in the financial markets should be paying 15% on their taxes when a teacher making $50,000 a year is paying more than that, paying a higher rate. They ought to have to answer for that. And if they're pledged to keep that kind of unfairness in place, they should remember the last time I checked, the only pledge that really matters is the pledge we take to uphold the Constitution.
And that is correct. I think the president said it perfectly, and that is the only pledge that they take that should matter, is the pledge to fulfill their office in concurrence with the Constitution of the United States of America. They can also, pledge allegiance to the flag. Well, that's fine. But to pledge to, the United States of Grover Norquist? Come on. I mean, at what point are we going to not clearly see that the Republican idea of what moves the economy forward is not moving the economy forward? And by the way, folks, this is not class warfare. That's the other talking point you're going to get today. This is what the president had to say about that.
Now, we're already hearing the usual defenders of these kinds of loopholes saying this is just class warfare. I reject the idea that asking a hedge fund manager to pay the same tax rate as a plumber or a teacher is class warfare. I think it's just the right thing to do. I believe the American middle class, who've been pressured relentlessly for decades, believe it's time that they were fought for as hard as the lobbyists and some lawmakers have fought to protect special treatment for billionaires and big corporations. Nobody wants to punish success in America. What's great about this country is our belief that anyone can make it and everybody should be able to try. The idea that any one of us can open a business or have an idea and make us millionaires or billionaires. This is the land of opportunity. That's great. All I'm saying is that those who have done well, including me, should pay our fair share in taxes to contribute to the nation that made our success possible. We shouldn't get a better deal than ordinary families get. And I think most wealthy Americans would agree if they knew this would help us grow the economy and deal with the debt that threatens our future.
And it does. And it does.
Isn't that funny when, I mean, like calling people, not calling people out, but the whole, you should be able to have the land of opportunity. You should be able to suddenly go from rags to riches. And once you get to that position, he's basically saying, help your country out now. And yet, I mean, people that are rich are Republicans, I guess, conservatives, always want to play that patriotic card. But when it comes to helping their country out and paying taxes, suddenly it's not so patriotic anymore.
Right. No, and that really is the disingenuous part of this. Very quickly, let's just continue with the president and this idea of class warfare, and then I'll come back and speak to that.
It comes down to this. We have to prioritize. Both parties agree that we need to reduce the deficit by the same amount, by $4 trillion. So what choices are we going to make to reach that goal? Either we ask the wealthiest Americans to pay their fair share in taxes, or we're going to have to ask seniors to pay more for Medicare. We can't afford to do both. Either we gut education and medical research, or we've got to reform the tax code so that most profitable corporations have to give up tax loopholes that other companies don't get. We can't afford to do both. This is not class warfare. It's math.
It's math. And that is really the point that needs to be made, is that it is just simply math. Now, we can, you know, we can argue it, and we will, of course, because that's what we do in the political realm. We argue these things. But ultimately, you know, I go back to, and this was months ago, back in May, we had posted to the Facebook page author Stephen King, who is a multi-millionaire, that he gave a speech in Florida where he said, since the government won't take his money, and they won't, he has decided to endow scholarships. He's decided to take his millions of dollars and provide opportunities for those that don't have opportunities that money brings you. And that's a wonderful thing. That's an altruistic idea. But we need to start paying down debt in this country and creating jobs. And since, and we'll get to the job creator thing, don't worry about that. Since the wealthy claim that we can't do this to them because we'll stop job creators from creating jobs that they're not creating, which is the problem. Bomani, stay where you're at. You're up next. We've got to take a quick break here. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. You go, Mr. President. I'm feeling good about this deal. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't want to leave him waiting. He's been on hold a while. But again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Bamani, my friend, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
How you doing, Tony? You okay?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I did enjoy the president's comments yesterday. I just wondered if you saw Ed Schultz last night, by any chance.
No, buddy, I get up too early. I love my friend Ed, but I got to be in bed by 10 o'clock.
I understand. Well, you know, they had this lady on there, Heidi Harris or somebody. I guess she's some kind of Republican strategist. And I guess she thinks that she can talk faster than everybody, therefore her opinions are more valid.
Very Republican thing to do.
Yeah, and she thinks that that millionaires and billionaires should pay the exact same amount as average citizens do, which, of course, didn't seem to make any sense to me, but she just kind of rambled on. And they never talk about the millionaires and billionaires who said that they ought to be paying more. They never seem to admit that. They never seem to talk about those people. They even talked about the guy who used to be head of Google who said that they should be paying more in taxes, you know. And he also mentioned that a lot of these people who are millionaires and billionaires, a lot of them did not earn their money. They inherited their money.
Right. They don't even understand the value of that money, I would think. You know, Bamani, I know you, like me, we work for our money. I mean, you know, I wasn't born wealthy.
We work really hard.
Absolutely. And, you know, so maybe we come at this in a little different way. If I were to somehow end up being a millionaire, I'm not opposed to that happening, by the way. I would understand that a larger percentage of that would have to go toward taxes. I understand that. You know, we're going to play some audio in a little while from a congressman from Louisiana who complains that, you know, he only makes $600,000 a year after taxes.
Yeah, I heard that. And he can't feed his family, right?
Right. That's the one. Exactly, Bamani. That's exactly the guy. He can't feed his family on $600,000 a year.
Give me $600,000. I think I could feed a couple of families.
Thank you. At least a couple of families. Thanks. I appreciate your comments, as always. Right. He makes a good point, Jeff, doesn't he? He probably could feed more than a couple families on $600,000 a year.
I was drinking coffee, and I almost spit it on the screen. That was great. I could probably feed a couple of... You probably feed your neighborhood on $600,000.
Yeah, you know, chances are that I could. Let's go to one more clip from President Obama's wonderful speech yesterday on deficit reduction and what it would do for the country. And let's hear what he had to say.
And if we're not willing to ask those who've done extraordinarily well to help America close the deficit, and we are trying to reach that same target of $4 trillion, then the logic, the math says everybody else has to do a whole lot more. We've got to put the entire burden on the middle class and the poor. We've got to scale back on the investments that have always helped our economy grow. We've got to settle for second-rate roads and second-rate bridges and second-rate airports and schools that are crumbling. That's unacceptable to me. That's unacceptable to the American people. And it will not happen on my watch. I will not support any plan that puts all the burden for closing our deficit on ordinary Americans. And I will veto any bill that changes benefits for those who rely on Medicare but does not raise serious revenues by asking the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to pay their fair share.
Wow. I mean, these are not even difficult ideas to comprehend, are they? And they're not. I mean, let's just stop and think about what he's saying. It all makes sense. I mean, and I understand, again, I understand the difficulty of where the other side's going to struggle with this, but ultimately, at some point, we just have to stop doing things the way they were doing. There's that old definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That is the Republican mantra. Let's welcome Bob to the show now. We're almost out of time for the hour. I want to get Bob in quickly. Bob, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tony.
Hi,
I just want to try to follow up with you on your discussion right now. And, you know, I guess you were asking the question about, you know, why the rich should pay more, and you didn't want to hear anything about job creators, and so I won't go there.
Well, no, we're going to talk about job creators later, because we got a whole thing to do on job creators a little bit.
Okay, but let me ask you, you know, I want your audience to think about this. We keep saying that the rich don't pay their fair share in taxes, yet I want you to imagine that rich person, stop with the percentages of what they pay. Assume that rich person has paid $150,000 to $250,000 to the Treasury in federal taxes. Tony, that person, we have to stop with it. He's not doing his fair share. Somebody giving $500,000 to the Treasury when the percentage of Americans out there that pay no taxes is pretty significant.
Yeah, but Bob, why are they paying no taxes? Again, that's the part of the question they're paying no taxes because they're not making enough to qualify to pay taxes.
I agree with you, and I'm not asking them to pay taxes, Tony. I'm not asking them to pay taxes. I'm saying we have to stop, demonizing wealthy people, successful people. You talked about the congressman who was on MSNBC yesterday and made the comment about the $600,000 to live on.
Yeah, John Fleming.
Tony, yeah, he has about $6 million in revenue in his Subway and
UPS stores.
There you go. He's got about $6 million after everything. He turns about $600,000 in profit. He uses about $200,000 of that money for his family to pay bills, to feed his children, to prepare them for college. The other $400,000 is used to reinvest in his business. Do you know what it costs to open up a franchise, a Subway?
And I know you do.
So, Tony, that $400,000 is being used to reinvest so that he can open up another Subway shop and employ another 7, 8, 9, 12 people.
We're not disagreeing. I don't understand where the problem here, Bob. All I'm saying is that by a percentage, and again, I hope to be, Bob, one day that guy that wants to that has the ability to complain about, having to send too much money because I'm making a lot of money. Just percentage, by percentage, Bob, we just can't continue to allow the middle class to pick up that burden. I'm sorry, we're just short of time in this hour. But, again, I to start this, and this is exactly what I knew would happen, we're going to just have to agree to disagree because you see it one way. And we're going to play John Fleming's audio. We're going to let him tell his own story. I'm not going to tell it for him. I'm not going to misrepresent his words. I'm going to let him tell his own story. And then we'll let the audience decide. Yeah.
But if you break it down, it's $600,000 he has to decide with what he's going to do with. Don't break it down to this $200,000 for his family, which, by the way, still is a lot of money to feed your family. But, the $400,000 to reinvest, sometimes businesses can't afford that.
You can't afford
to reinvest if you don't have that profit. He has $400,000 profit.
Let's do this. We're just going to, in the next hour, we'll play John Fleming, Congressman Fleming's audio, and let the audience decide for themselves. We don't have to decide this for anybody. Let him decide. Let him hear it in his own words. Not that we won't comment, but we'll let the audience decide. Let's take a quick break for the top of the hour. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Let's go refresh our coffees. We'll meet right back here in just a few minutes.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Look, I had an accident out there on 75 southbound, that exit ramp to 94 westbound. There's an accident there that's causing some delays. Aside from that, we're looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, a dense fog advisory until 10 a.m. today. Mostly sunny once the fog lifts on near 72. Tonight, areas of fog after 2 a.m., partly cloudy, a low around 58. Tomorrow, after the fog burns off, well, the chance for showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high at right around 76 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 55 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.
If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, it's going to be a busy week at the UN, full of high-level meetings on Libya and the Palestinians' quest for statehood. CNN's Steve Kastenbaum says the General Assembly meeting starts today with new governments getting a lot of attention.
This will be anything but your typical General Assembly meeting. Bruce Jones runs the Center on International Cooperation at New York University. He says there's a lot happening on the world stage at the moment.
The European debt crisis is consuming a lot of attention, but the real attention will be around the Middle East issues.
And then there are the new faces, the new representatives of Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, and South Sudan.
These are states in important early phases of their transition.
They'll have to be acclimatized to the world community over the next 10 to 15 years. Steve Kastenbaum, CNN, New York.
Gays in the U.S. military are celebrating an end to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Army Reserve Captain Clark Cooper is among them.
It is a victory. This is going to make the U.S. military stronger and more ready and more relevant.
The policy that started under President Clinton ended at midnight. Republicans are blasting President Obama's plan to increase taxes on the wealthy to lower America's debt. House Speaker John Boehner says the better plan is to focus on spending cuts.
We've got to get spending under control. And a way to raise revenues is to get our economy moving again and get more Americans off of unemployment, off of food stamps, and back doing real work.
Democratic Senator Kent Conrad says the president's plan is significant and balanced. More than a dozen people were hurt when a minibus exploded on a crowded street in Turkey's capital of Ankara. Vehicles and buildings were damaged in the blast. Revolutionary fighters in Libya are planning a major assault on Beni Walid. It's one of the few Libyan towns still controlled by Muammar Gaddafi's forces. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
I'm in the I need cordless cutting shears to finish this vent work business.
At Granger, we know what business you're in.
I'm in the if you can help my business, then you'll get my business business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Where's my PC desktop?
It's on my desk, of course.
It's also on my smartphone.
My laptop.
My notebook. As the engines of a smarter planet,
we mid-sized businesses need to be able to work anytime, anywhere.
Wherever I go, my desktop goes with me.
Unless I'd prefer that it didn't.
Like when I'm fishing or something.
The IBM Virtual Desktop for smart business. Designed to reduce desktop management costs. Starting at $12.50 per user per month. Learn more at ibm.com/engines/desktop. Price is subject to change without notice.
Apps suddenly have become more than just tech curiosities. A University of Maryland study finds apps for Facebook alone have created 182,000 jobs. Employment crisis? Maybe there is an app for that. You may have already noticed this. Flu shots showing up in drug and some grocery stores, and it doesn't just seem like flu shots are way early this year. They are. Wall Street Journal says manufacturers want to get an early jump onto your arm. They have produced 166 million flu doses for this season. Now for another season that's beginning way early this year. Toys R Us is out with its so-called Fabulous 15. Its list of toys it thinks will be hot holiday sellers this year. The two biggest toy companies, Mattel and Hasbro, each have three on the list, including Let's Rock, Elmo. A 1.5% drop for Japan's Nikkei today. European index is higher by almost 1%. S&P futures are gaining 9 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you're part of running a business, you know your mind works differently.
Heating costs, cooling costs, reducing costs.
You've always got decisions on your mind.
How do I trim my budget back and still watch my employees' backs?
Choosing Aflac should be an easy decision. It's a way to enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your business. Aflac is insurance for things like accidents or critical illness, and it pays cash benefits directly to help cover things major medical doesn't. It's like a safety net for your employees. And since it's voluntary, it doesn't cost your business a cent, because you've already got enough on your mind.
Taking care of business, taking care of my people.
Buy a plush duck for $10, and Aflac will donate $20 to the fight against childhood cancer. Join us in supporting critical research and medical breakthroughs at the Aflac Cancer Center. Join the cause at aflac.com/friends.
Your life is on your computer. Family photos, music collections, email. What if a hard drive crash or virus wiped out those files tomorrow? That's why you need Carbonite Online Backup today. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically. They're kept safely off-site, and it's easy to get them back. Carbonite gives you unlimited backup for only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code LIFE and get 2 bonus months with purchase. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code LIFE.
Newman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here. And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
But I think this is a challenge.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. And the open reminds me there's just a short amount of time left to gather signatures for the recall Rick Snyder campaign. So what you need to do is you can call 855-SO-FIRED, that's a toll-free number, 855-SO-FIRED, and get all the info you need there, where you can sign, so on and so forth. Or you can go to fireRickSnyder.org, download your own petition, be the first one to sign it, grab some other signatures and mail it in. That download does come complete with an explanation sheet how to go about doing all of it so it's legal. So I would remind you to go do that. Go to fireRickSnyder.org and download your own petition. Go out and gather some signatures. But time is short, folks, so you need to get going on this. I do have an update, but I can't confirm. I understand that signature gathering has been going extremely well the last 45 days. And that's all I can really say because I haven't been able to confirm exactly where the number's at, but I hear good things. So you may be getting good news, but you need to continue to work hard at gathering those signatures, okay? Fair enough? 855-SO-FIRED or fireRickSnyder.org and download your own petition. Pretty simple stuff. It really is. It's that simple. If you're just joining us in the last hour, and we've been talking about President Obama's plan to cut the deficit on top of his program, the American Jobs program, that would create thousands of good middle-class jobs around the country, is starting to take hold, and that's a good thing. But that's not all we have for you. So we've been talking, you're just joining us, we were mentioning a congressman from the state of Louisiana. He's a Tea Party guy. He was on MSNBC yesterday, and he was talking about why you can't tax the rich, which is part of President Obama's proposal, is to ask them to pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes. Not to just, put a blank number on it, across the board. It's a higher percentage. And basically, they would pay the same percentage that you and I would, which they currently don't, by a large margin. And so Representative John Fleming, again, the Republican Tea Party member from Louisiana, on with MSNBC's Chris Jansing, had this to say about why you can't tax job creators.
Is there, though, a real disconnect with most of America that's really hurting congressmen? And we're seeing through loopholes, through funny accounting, through all the ways that people who have money to hire accountants spend a fraction, percentage-wise, give the government a fraction of their income compared to what middle America does?
Well, again, if you go after the higher income earners, you're also going after the job creators.
Okay, so that's how this starts. He says if you're going after the income generators, you're going after the job creators. Now, I'm not asking you to endorse it or deny it at this point. Let's just leave it there and go on to Congressman Fleming's next comment about why taxing them will equal less jobs.
Aren't we talking about taxing people who are making personally, their personal wealth, $1 million and more a year? How does that hurt them from their business, which is successful, and we know that businesses are making more money than they have been in a very long time when you look at the corporate earnings?
Yes.
How does that stop them from hiring people?
Right. The answer is no for two reasons. Number one, this actually raises taxes on those making $200,000 and more, and then an additional tax on those who make $1 million or more. Most small businesses in this country today are taxed at the individual level, S corporation, LLC. So whatever is cut out of those earnings is money taken out of capital for reinvestment, for creating more jobs, opening up more locations. So the more you tap that down, the less jobs that are going to be created.
But that is still separate from their own personal
income. No, it's all mixed together.
Well, you can't use your
All right, now this is where, you know, you're probably sitting there going, okay, well, what he said kind of made sense, and you can tell that Chris Jansing is not quite comfortable with his answer. There's a reason for that. And he wants to explain why they are actually commingled funds, and let's hear what he has to say about that.
You still have to file a personal income tax. If you're taking a salary from a business you own, those taxes are separate from your personal income.
No, that really isn't how it works, Chris. What happens is, in my own case, I own LLCs, the income flows to my personal tax return, and whatever is left over after taxes are paid, I feed my family on the one hand, and on the other hand, I reinvest in my business.
Well, with all due respect, Congressman, the Wall Street Journal estimated that your businesses, which I believe are Subway sandwich shops and UPS stores, very successful, brought you last year over $6 million.
Yeah, that's before you pay 500 employees, you pay rent, you pay equipment and food. The actual net income of that was only a mere fraction of that amount.
All right, and that mere fraction, he said, was $600,000. And then of that, you know, he then has to, you know, pay, you know, whatever his personal bills are. Now, listen, I'm not going to begrudge the guy his success. I think it's wonderful. I understand that he has decided to live a certain lifestyle. I don't know. I don't live in his house. I'm going to assume, though, that he's got a very nice home, and I'm going to assume that his family has some really nice stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. You earn the money. You should be able to spend it any way you want. But that's another way of saying you have a choice. Now, if he's not living within his means, shame on him. And I'm not saying that he is or he isn't. The point I'm trying to make here is that you do make choices. Once you end up in the tax bracket that he's in and you have a certain flow of money coming into your personal account, you start to make personal choices how to spend that money.
Yeah, and what he's saying, doesn't it sound like, you know, if I say, you come up to me and you're like, Jeff, you make, you know, whatever, 50 grand. And I'm like, well, Tony, you don't understand, though. I have to pay for my car, and I have to pay for my house, and I have to pay for, you know, insurance. So when all that's said and done, I might have, you know, only 20 grand to go out and have fun with. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, we all have bills and stuff to pay.
And that is exactly why this scenario is misdirected and ill-informed. Because you're right. That is exactly the truth. You know, we could also, you know, with whatever money we have left after we pay our bills, decide to invest it in a business, right? I mean, we have an option to do that. Most of us don't have the kind of money it takes to buy a franchise, which are rather costly. But if he's bringing in $6 million a year, Jeff, do you think he can get a loan to buy more franchises?
If he sure chose to, he could.
Yeah, you bet he could. And the average American cannot.
And isn't this is exactly what it sounds like, is trickle down. Like, if you just let me have more of my own money, then I am going to randomly just throw that money back in there. No, you're not. You're gonna invest it and save it and use it for your personal stuff. That's why I don't get, like, give us a tax break and we'll create more jobs. Well, how about you give a tax break to the people who, you know, the middle class and the poor, so when they have more money to spend, more disposable income, they go and buy products, and then all of a sudden businesses are like, well, wait a minute, our products are flying off the shelf. We need to hire more people because the demand is so great. What about trickle-up economics?
Well, you know, and again, that's because, God dang it, you're thinking like a liberal, darn you, Jeff. That is exactly the point. The point is when somebody in my tax bracket or your tax bracket has disposable income, we spend that money local. We buy things locally. We are supporting the job creators by doing that. This goes back to a conversation that we've had repeatedly on this show about demand. There is less demand when you have less money in your pocket. Of course there is. It doesn't mean that people don't want the stuff you make, Jeff. It means they can't afford to buy the stuff you make. It's that simple. It's that simple, but that has a, even that doesn't have much to do with this conversation. This conversation is about them playing by the same rules you and I have to play by. And what he's saying is, I don't want to play the rules. I don't want to play by these rules. It's not fair because, dang it, I want to be able to spend, like you said, I want to be able to spend the money the way I want to spend the money. Well, so do I. So what would be more fair? How come, Jeff, you never hear them say, why don't we lower the tax rate to the middle class? And let's make, if you want to make it fair, let's lower the tax rate to the middle class.
Good question.
Turn it around.
I thought it was a good, we don't have the audio, I apologize, but I thought it was good when Obama was talking, President Obama was talking about the tax code. And the fact that if you stack all the volumes together, it's 10 feet tall, and it's just incredible the amount of loopholes. Like you can, and by rhetoric, you can say, oh, the wealthy and the high earners pay, they're supposed to pay such and such an amount. But when you go through all the loopholes and all the stuff that they can get out of and all the tax credits they can get and everything, they're actually paying way less. And that's that was the point of his speech yesterday, and that's the point, you know, of what we're going through right now.
Before we get to more of Representative John Fleming's audio, when I was on the Steve Hood show and I was debating the Republican guy, Stefano Militello, you know, he actually said, he quoted Carla Fiorini, who used to be the president of Hewlett-Packard, and he had quoted that, you know, she paid, you know, 24%, you know, after her accountants got done, you know, doing what they do. Well, she was being taxed at 35%. She ends up paying 24%. 11%, Jeff, because she can afford the kind of tax attorneys and the accountants that know how to work their way through that system. And notice I didn't say cheat. I did not say cheat. It's all legal, but it shouldn't be. All right, we'll come back. We've got more audio to get to on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I know this stimulus is unpopular. We have just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing. We would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're looking at some slow traffic out there on the freeways right now. Some of it because, well, there's a lot of cars out there. Some of it because of the fog, with some heavy fog blanketing the area right now. But we are looking at some delays on 75 southbound between 14 Mile down to 8 Mile, 676 westbound between DeQuinder, 75, that's backed up too.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, dense fog before 10 a.m. In fact, visibility is down to just a quarter mile in some areas right now. Mostly sunny, high near 73 once the fog burns off. Tonight, more fog late, partly cloudy, a low around 58. And then tomorrow, showers, some thunderstorms in there as well, a high near 76. Currently, it's foggy and 56 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well.
So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
State Senator Bert Johnson.
I guess I'm breaking it here on the Tony Trupiano show that I'm in fact going to be running in the 13th district and can't tell you the amount of support that I'm getting from the community. And frankly, the number of people who have called me to say, Bert, here's what you should do based on what we see as the tea leaves saying. So it will be the 13th congressional district. I live in the city of Highland Park. Highland Park is within the 13th district, and this is going to be some kind of ride next summer, Tony, and I invite you to come and take it with me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Good morning. President Obama has a plan to reduce the deficit. It does involve raising taxes, but asking people to pay their fair share. Congressman from Louisiana, Tea Party member John Fleming, defending why the rich, the wealthy, should not have to pay more taxes. He goes on to talk about class warfare, and this is what he had to say.
You do understand, Congressman, that the average person out there who's making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, when they hear that you only have $400,000 left over, it's not exactly a sympathetic position. You understand that?
Well, again, class warfare has never created a job, and that's people that will not get jobs. This is all about creating jobs, Chris. This is not about attacking people who make certain incomes. You know, in this country, most people feel that being successful in their businesses is a virtue, not a vice. And once we begin to identify it as a vice, this country is going down.
Well, Congressman, it's good of you to come in. Are you open to hearing what the president has to say?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, and then last but not least, because I think this is the critical piece, and then we'll wrap up this conversation. I've got a lot of other stuff I want to get to today. Congressman John Fleming again on why, you know, on what he needs to feed his family.
So you're saying that if you have to pay more in taxes, you would get rid of some of those employees? These are not as successful
I would
businesses
say that,
as well.
I would say that since my net income, and again, that's the individual rate that I told you about, the amount that I have to reinvest in my business and feed my family is more like $600,000 of that $6.3 million. And so by the time I feed my family, I have, you know, maybe $400,000 left over to invest in new locations, upgrade my locations, buy more equipment.
All right. And so that's his argument. And I said when we started this particular discussion, I'll let you decide. And I have a feeling that if we were to take a vote, which we're not going to do, but if we were to take a vote, most of you, because of your political leanings and understandings would say, no, this guy doesn't, you know, his argument doesn't carry any water. The rest of you, of course, are going to see it in a very different way. Chris writes via email, she says, below is a quote from Huffington Post comment, a section regarding Congressman Fleming. Quote, in all fairness to Mr. Fleming, the additional tax will amount to less than one half of one penny for every dollar he earns a month. That comes to $375 a month. That would be equal to one job that pays $2.34 an hour he created. Now here's a guy that says he can't afford to give this up and then votes to not extend unemployment benefits for those that need it for their families. I'll let you folks just weigh that on your own. And Bob, who called at the just before the top of the hour, says, Tony, you cannot borrow money for franchise fees. You actually have to have that money and show proof of having additional capital available. Bob, I know that is true for your very first franchise. After you have multiple franchises, they actually will finance them. I know two people that have done this repeatedly and are quite successful. So they didn't, after that first franchise, they did not need to cookie cutter that to finance the next one and the next one and the next one. In fact, franchisors love it when they get franchisees who have a track record of successfully opening stores, no matter what that franchise might be, and they're more than happy to help provide credit to open other stores. So that I happen to know that is true, Bob. You know, interestingly, Jeff, the bottom line remains this. If we're going to have a serious discussion about reducing debt, which we need to have, I mean, that's a discussion that needs to be had, and that needs to be more than a discussion. We actually need to see movement in that area. If we're going to have a serious discussion and create jobs, which is something we desperately need to do, well, that is something the president has addressed. So now he has done two things that the Republicans had clearly, Jeff, asked him to do. One of them was come up with a jobs program, which he did, which he delivered to Congress. The other one is they said, we need to eliminate debt, and we need a program to do it, and you don't have one. Well, now he does. Now, unless I'm understanding this wrong, they're not going to support the Jobs Act, right? And they're not going to support his eliminating debt plan. Maybe he can help me out here. He's giving them now what they want, and they're saying no. What's going on?
Well, isn't that it really isn't a surprise anymore at this point, because even when he comes out with a plan that sounds exactly what the Republicans have said before, they go against their own plan. If he agrees with them, then they suddenly, okay, it must not be any good. I mean, if I were him, I don't know. I mean, there's two ways I would go about this. I said last week when you were on vacation that he should go real hard to the left. That way when they compromise, it comes back into the middle, because he starts in the middle, and then when they compromise, it leans more to, you know, to the conservatives, and they're still not happy with that, and now liberals aren't happy with that, and he's upsetting both sides. But now what if he goes way hard to the right? And then the Republicans are like, well, we can't obviously agree with him, because, you know, that makes him look good, so we'll disagree with that. Hmm. Yeah, wouldn't that push him back to the middle? I mean, I don't know. It's funny, because they'll just, you know, they'll disagree with everything he comes out with because he puts his name attached to it.
Well, I will certainly tell you. By the way, I've got MSNBC on in the studio here, and Governor Granholm and the former first gentleman Dan Mulhern are on the Morning Joe show, and the governor is going to be with us Tuesday morning.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I just want to mention that since she happens to be on the air right now. She's got a brand new book out, which I received, which I'm going to read over the next few days, Jeff, so you can get it, at least some of it read before we have her on. But the governor and I had a very, and don't take this the wrong way, we had a very special media relationship, and she was an important part of my program when I was doing afternoons here on WDTW, and in fact, I was doing a statewide program at the time, and the governor and I spent a lot of time on the air together, so I'm going to really look forward to having her on. For those of you, I've gotten a couple emails. Apparently, I sound a little hoarse today. Do I sound hoarse to you today, Jeff?
A little bit, yeah.
Do I? Oh, I don't know why. I mean, I feel fine, so if you think I'm sick, I'm not sick. Well, I mean, I mean, physically I'm fine. Mentally, maybe that's a little bit different story. We're going to go right to the phones because we're up against the clock. So let us go to my friend Amir in Detroit. Amir, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, pal?
Just real quick. Job creators, if you don't have demand, you don't. That means no supply. That means a business owner can't create a job. So once you have more demand, you actually have more, you actually create jobs. So it's really demand that creates jobs. No business owner creates a job. Because if that was the truth, then business owners would be creating jobs right now. And then just one more thing. I know you like Jennifer Granholm. I'm not too thrilled about her, especially with what she did with our school. So.
Well, listen, there's no one person that I agree with politically on everything, Amir. There's no question that's true. That governor was a whole lot better for this state than Governor Snyder has been to this point.
Yeah, but our school system, Tony, that's a vital line to opportunity and growth within our city. And she put a man ahead of that just destroyed it more than it was already destroyed.
Yeah.
So to, and then wouldn't take him out of office when we kept talking to her about it. So to me, it's kind of like, just like with the issue of voting for Obama if he's not going to do nothing versus voting for a Republican. Would I have voted for her again if she was able to run against Rick Snyder? Yeah. But if...
Yeah, we got to take the break. So, Amir, thank you as always for your call. Feel free to join us, folks. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll get to the break. We'll be right back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at some delays out there on the freeway, 75 southbound at 12 mile. There's an accident there on the shoulder. It's causing some delays back to about Rochester Road. Even further south than that, we're still going to find some slowdowns all the way down to 8 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A forecast from the National Weather Service, a dense fog advisory remains in effect until 10 a.m. this morning. Some visibility is down to just a quarter mile. Mostly sunny, a high near 70. Once the fog does lift. Tonight, partly cloudy, some fog will happen late, low around 58. And then tomorrow, shower, some thunderstorms in there as well. Partly sunny otherwise, a high near 76. Currently, it's foggy and 56 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Our Walmart is a workers' movement taking Walmart worker demands for respect on the job directly to the corporate home office. Angie Rodriguez says on top of low wages, too few hours, and a general lack of respect for workers on the job, Walmart has also steadily increased their workload.
When I started with Walmart 7 years ago, I used to work only one department. Now they make me work three departments, and it gives me a lot of stress.
Our Walmart has taken a declaration for respect directly to Walmart's home office to drive home the point that the problems of low wages, too few hours, erratic work schedules, and other issues are not individual problems, but rather a systemic problem throughout the entire Walmart organization. AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Liz Schuler says the labor movement is working hard to forge new connections with young workers. She says that young workers have been hard hit by unemployment, but they're organizing to fight for their future.
It's double that of the national unemployment rate at 18.1%. Student loans are casting a heavy burden on young people as well. They can't afford homes. They, in some cases, can't even financially take care of themselves. So in many ways, this truly is becoming what some people are referring to as the lost generation.
The AFL-CIO's Next Up conference for young workers will be held in Minneapolis September 29th through October 2nd. A new book is out that looks at the impact of women on the gaming community. Jesse Russell spoke with the author.
Casino Women, Courage in Unexpected Places was co-authored by Jill B. Jones and Susan Chandler, who spoke with female casino workers to tell the story of the often invisible employees. The book contrasts the heavily unionized Las Vegas casino culture to the much less so Reno casino culture. Wynn spoke with Jones on Monday, and she explained that one of the benefits of a union having your back in a casino is much less ageist gender discrimination.
If you're working in a unionized property, you don't expect to be either fired or transferred to another department when you reach the point where you no longer look like you're 20 years old. Or, you know, we had a lot of cocktail waitresses in non-unionized properties that talked about the kind of pressure that was brought to bear.
The authors discovered union hotels are able to focus more on service and less on managing physical appearances. Jones gave the example of one cocktail waitress who had her retirement party while they were researching the book.
This woman
spent her whole lifetime serving cocktails, and she said it really wasn't about, you know, sexual allure. She said it was about providing service.
For the full interview with Jill B. Jones, visit our website at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. You know, clearly, the I had said yesterday I was pledging to do more local and state stuff, and this seems to be a national discussion. It is local. I mean, this is something that is affecting us at every level in our communities. And so, you know, I don't feel like I'm making a stretch by allowing this conversation to continue. Yeah, we've got some local stuff that I'm going to get to here, but this is an important conversation to have, and we do need to resolve this. You know, keeping in mind we're still the second, you know, worst state in job creation and putting people back to work in the country, folks. We need to start having a different conversation. Again, my definition of insanity from earlier, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That's what the Republicans keep telling us. If we do less regulation and less taxes, they will create jobs. But if we don't create the jobs, the job creators aren't creating the jobs because there's no demand for their product or service. It's just a conversation. We're done with conversation. Let's go back to the phones. Again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, by any measure, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for calling back. How are you doing this morning?
How you doing, Tony? Great talking to you again.
Thank you.
I kind of got 2 points here. First of all, I keep hearing about this demand for jobs. Well, part of the downsizing and the productivity gains were that we as employees have taken on 3-4, you know, times the amount of work as people retired. We just assume their duties. So there is a demand for jobs already. And then, there's, you know, you've owned businesses, and I've done a little business stuff on the side. I understand a little bit about the tax laws. But we can incentivize hiring because as we, you know, close down some of the tax loops, loops in the tax system, that people will hire because it's a tax write-off, you know, and that's one of the ways, you know, businesses hate paying taxes, period.
Yep.
And one of the ways they get out of paying taxes is hiring people. So we incentivize the hiring by rewarding them with you know, tax deductions.
In which this president has proposed we do.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're proposing. Of course, right now they're getting those profits for nothing, you know, when I guess people who get something for nothing, you know, resist change to have to actually earn it, you know, and that's what it would be. You'd have to earn that tax deduction instead of just hand it to you because of the gift of the Republican Party.
Yeah, well said, Will. Well said. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Great talking to you.
As always.
You're a good man.
I appreciate it, Will, as always. Again, if you care to join the conversation, 888-552-3595. You know, let's, for a minute, you know, Jeff, let's remind people that the incentives for hiring under the American Jobs Act are monumental, historic in many ways, especially if you hire a U.S. veteran, a disabled veteran, or somebody that's long-term unemployed. Huge benefit to hiring those folks from a tax perspective. If you hire, period, the carrot is quite substantial. And so there would be a lot of reason to hire because, again, we just I hate repeating myself, but it just seems like I've got to do it sometimes, and this is one of those times. If we create more jobs, we'll create more demand for jobs and for services. If we create more demand for services, people will, of course, buy those services. As a result of that, we will create more jobs. This is not rocket science. Seriously, folks, this is not rocket science. You know, I go back to, you know, infrastructure spending. And yes, there's going to be a cost to it. I'm not trying to hide that. I've never said, you know, it's not going to cost any money. It is going to cost money. It absolutely will. But we start closing loopholes. Folks, do we really need to be providing the kind of tax incentives to the oil industry that we provide? No, we don't. It's not working. What we're doing is not working. That's the point. So we need to do something different. This is that something different. This isn't, again, this is not that difficult to comprehend. Why, folks, really, why do Republicans not want to do this? Okay, why? I don't get it. I don't get it. Let's go back to the phones. Let's welcome Jeff in Utica to First Shift. Jeff, thanks for punching in with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. The conversations that I have at work with people who would consider themselves right-wingers and that kind of thing, they actually think that they are included in that conversation, that the people, and they're people no different than me. They make, you know, say $40,000-$50,000 a year, and they think somehow they're going to benefit from, you know, just from that right wing agenda.
How?
I have no idea.
Jeff, how? They're getting hosed.
I have no idea. There is no talking to them. I tried to change their mind and try and look at those things. I was barking about General Motors making customers for themselves just by hiring people when we started losing market share in the late 90s, they kept on cutting back, and I said, you know, every time you hire somebody, there's two cars a year right there. Every employee you have and every supplier employee you have, there's two cars a year guaranteed. To make customers. And then, you know, and then a third point would be, you know, along the lines of, you know, look at India requires when you own a McDonald's in India, you have to live right in that town. It has to be locally owned. And they won't sell a McDonald's to anybody but somebody local. You know, that would be a way to employ so that would be a way to employ to support the community.
Right. You know, Jeff, I stop and think, you know, I used to own a restaurant that was surrounded by auto plants. You know, there's an entire economy that is created around an automotive plant. There is all of the businesses that surround that, whether they be dry cleaners or they be restaurants, or they be massage parlors, or they be sun tanning places. There's an entire economy that is supported by that automotive plant being open. And the collateral effect of an auto plant reopening or more people being hired, as we're going to find out later this morning when General Motors announces the details of their plans. When we look at the job creation, now, that's real job creation, Jeff. And again, we're not talking about jobs where people are going to make $300,000, $400,000 a year. These are good middle-income jobs, right?
Absolutely.
That supports an entire community. And for us to turn around, and the guys that you work with that don't get that, that think that somehow they benefit from a Republican mantra that says less is more, what the hell are they drinking?
I don't know. I have relatives that think the same way. I can't understand what you're talking about. Who do you think you are is what I keep asking them.
And they have no answer for you. They have no answer for you, right? They have absolutely no answer for you.
They shut me down right away. They turn around and walk away.
Yeah, because they don't have an answer. I don't want to talk about this. I can hear it, Jeff. I've been there. I've had this conversation with people. Well,
yeah.
God bless you. Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. I truly do. You know,
Macomb Dems.
Actually, I'm speaking to the Macomb Dems next week, so that'll be fun. By the way, I need to get to you guys. I'm speaking tomorrow night at the Community Democratic Club in Canton. I'm speaking next Wednesday at the recall group that's part of the Macomb Democratic apparatus. So that's kind of cool. I got a lot of speaking stuff coming up, by the way, folks. I got to get my schedule updated on the website. You know, Radford, think about this for a minute, you know, because I know that this happens. I know, and, you know, this happens because I get emails from people. They tell me, in fact, Alan, who has not written me, Alan, if you're listening this morning, I haven't heard from you in a long time. Alan used to write me all the time about his crazy family, his crazy Republican family, and you know, the people that you work with. Imagine, Jeff, just imagine for a minute, you know, being, you know, working in an automotive plant, making the same, you know, what the guy next to you is making. You guys are making the same thing, right? And that they are somehow endorsing this Republican agenda that wants to suppress the middle class and trying to defend that. But they can't defend it, so what do? He just said it. They walk away.
We've had this conversation before. I asked you, what do these people who defend this line of thinking think? I mean, do they have a vision, envision that eventually they're going to be millionaires somehow? And they want to know when they get to be a millionaire that they get to keep their money?
Yeah.
And again, more power to you, having dreams. I don't want to knock that at all. But, you know, we had a discussion earlier with a caller who said, Hey, you know, these millionaires, they're paying $500,000. That's a lot of money. Well, when you're making $6 million, $500,000 isn't exactly what we're paying.
No, it is not exactly what we're paying. Again, you're right. They're holding on to this idealized version of what their life will be when they become that millionaire. And there's nothing wrong with feeling and feeling that that's possible. I think it's wonderful. You know, in another life, I was a motivational speaker, and, you know, I talk about visualization and being there and putting yourself into that situation, and you do need to do that.
Right. I would look forward to being a millionaire so I could pay, you know, more money and help the country out, because guess what? I would still be making a lot more than I'm making now.
And that is my point. You know, that's the only point I'm trying to make. It's that simple. Yes, I'd be making more money, too. Yeah, I'd have to pay more in taxes, but I'd be making more money. I would have more for me. That's not that hard. 888-552-3595. Let's take the break here. I got to go get more coffee. I'll be back right after this. Stay with us on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
So many of those who have made so much money recently produce very little wealth for others. They essentially pocket the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
For contractors, business comes from bids. And better bids start at the Home Depot, where right now you can save 15% on special order windows and doors. That means putting great brands and great quality into any job at an even better price. So if you're a pro, get that 15% savings, then get ready to lower your estimates, be more competitive, and bring on the business. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through September 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Bologna and peanut butter don't go together. Stripes and plaid don't either. But thanks to the Walgreens brand sale, AA batteries and mouthwash do. Because this week at Walgreens, you can mix, match, and save on thousands of Walgreens and W brand products. Buy one Walgreens or W brand product, get one 50% off. See store or walgreens.com for details. Walgreens, there's a way. Of equal or lesser value. Offer not available on products or services submitted for insurance reimbursement. Other exclusions or restrictions may apply. Void where prohibited by law.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, the new president of the Michigan Education Association, Stephen Cook. Why don't the teachers just finally say, enough's enough, we're going to strike?
It's not off the table, but it's just not something that teachers want to do. They want to teach. They don't want to strike. I think they're, in many respects, asking the MEA on their behalf and with their assistance, certainly, to deal with some of these folks.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo. On 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And that's true. I am Tony. Great to be with you this morning. Wow, this hour is flying by. We've got more phones to get to, 888-552-3595. Thank you, folks, for all your email as well, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. Let me welcome the very respectful Stephen Monroe to the First Shift program. Steve, good morning to you. Nice to hear from you.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I guess my question is, what is somebody's fair share? I'm trying to get a grasp. Is it a percentage? Is it a flat dollar amount?
No, it would be a percentage. Let's just keep it simple. If I make $40,000 a year and I pay 10% of my income to taxes, I think that everybody should pay 10% of their income to taxes. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying, Steve. It's that simple.
But what about the rich people that make over $200,000 or $250,000 for a couple? What should they pay? When you have to factor in, you got federal income tax, state, city, you've got other local taxes, you got property tax, you got sales tax. If you look at your phone bill, there's taxes built into that. I mean, if you look at all that, they're paying close to 50%.
Well, but we all are, aren't we? I mean, we're all paying those taxes. It's just not the wealthy that pay property taxes. It's just not the wealthy that pay taxes for their phone. It's just not the wealthy that pay, you know, grocery, you know, got taxes on your food. I mean, we all pay that stuff.
Oh, I understand. I think the Republicans are kind of open to restructuring the entire tax code. I would, you know, if you want to call them loopholes, which is legislation built into the tax code, that's fine. Let's restructure it. But if it's wrong across the board.
I agree. We don't disagree on that. Steve, we often don't disagree. And this is on one of those cases we do not disagree.
Okay.
I think we need radical change in our tax code. I think we need to make it fair. I think we need to close. I think it needs to be transparent. People need to know what to expect. I think the average person, and when I say average person, the average high school graduate should be able to figure out what their taxes, what they pay in taxes. Steve, thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Roger in Garden City. Roger, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, Tony, you get better all the time. I tell you, it's a great pleasure listening to you.
Thank you.
This thing with the taxing, like Paul Ryan wants, he doesn't want us taxing the rich. This seems to be a Republican brain disease. They keep repeating it over and over. We should be drowning in jobs after 10 years of the Bush tax cuts.
And we're not, are we?
No, we're not. We're not getting anywhere near that.
And so, again, you know, Roger, it takes me back to the thing I said earlier. It's the definition of insanity. Why would we continue to do things the same way when we know what the result's going to be? If tax cuts were to solve the problem, you're right. We should be silly with jobs. We should be giving them away.
You're so right, Tony. You're right on target. Keep on.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it as always. I mean, doesn't it just make sense? I think so. I mean, I really do think so. Mike in Westland joins us now. Mike, welcome to the First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, Tony, I would have to say that, do you ever take into consideration with the earned income tax credit that if you make $50,000 or less, you're not paying any income tax at all?
That's not true.
If we have 50% of the people not paying any income tax at all, why would they ever want to give those are paying income tax.
They're not paying, Mike, they're not paying federal taxes. They're paying state taxes. They're paying city taxes. They're paying property taxes.
Yeah. Well, Tony, we're talking, the president is talking about income tax, okay? And when you talk about, he's talking about income tax. He's not
federal income tax. He's talking about federal income tax.
Yeah, and 50% of the people with the earned income tax credit do not pay any income tax.
50% of the people are not getting the earned income tax credit. That is a lower threshold, Mike, and you know that. So you're thanks for calling, Mike. God bless you. Not 50% of the people are not getting the earned income tax credit, and Mike knows that. He just does. Let's go to Tony in Macomb. Tony, welcome to First Shift. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. Just real quick, you got to make the distinction. You just gave an example of if somebody makes $40,000, the 10% income tax. So you got to separate. This Buffett rule really applies to capital gains. Everybody's on the same tax table for earned income. What you need to understand is the capital gains tax is after-tax income that's invested, and you need to take into account that there's a risk factor. When people make an investment with after-tax money, you have to, the tax rate is lower, but you have to take into account the full thing, that somebody is taking a risk to invest. If they lose money, there's only a $3,000 a year loss that you can take against your income. But if you make money, it gets taxed. So it's really apples and oranges when you talk to income tax versus investment.
You're right. And that's an important, and it's not even a subtlety, Tony. It's an important distinction, and I agree with that. But tell me, do you think Warren Buffett's making more off his investments or more off his income?
Well, he's making more off of his investments, but, you know, Warren Buffett can write a check today. He doesn't need legislation. If he's so generous and these social programs are so important, what's stopping him and Obama and everybody else from just writing a check to the Treasury today?
Because that's not how it would. Because, Tony, that's too simple a way to. And that's just too simple an argument. Why didn't, you know, why don't all wealthy people just simply write a check for what they think they should be spending and just send a letter to the Treasury and say, hey, apply this any way you want?
Isn't that always the answer, too, is it's always charity. We shouldn't have to depend on taxes or anything like that. If you want to be generous, just give to a charity. But that doesn't happen all the time. I mean, that's the thing.
It's not about giving to charity either, Jeff. That's not what this is about. Giving to charity doesn't solve our jobs problem. You know, writing a check to the Treasury, and I don't care how much money you make, writing a check to the Treasury isn't going to solve the jobs problem. It's not that simple. People don't just voluntarily do it. What percentage of people do you think would voluntarily send an extra, 5% of their income to the government? How many, Jeff? I mean,
none. That's what I'm saying.
We have no idea. I mean, there's no way to put a number on that. There just isn't.
The expecting people to volunteer. If you're not happy with the tax code, then voluntarily give your money. Okay, so Warren Buffett says that he'll give his money, but then how many other people?
Well, that's the point. We can't put a number on it. You can't, this is all about, budgeting is about projecting. The people know this. They're trying to oversimplify the argument to make it look like it's just as simple as somebody writing a check. And it's just not that simple. It's just not. And they know it. And so that's their way to try to obfuscate it. I get it. It's fine. We'll move on. In the next hour, Cindy Estrada will be with us, but not until 20 after the hour, as she's got one heck of a busy day today. She is intimately involved with negotiations on behalf of statewide workers, but we will get with Cindy Estrada, Vice President of the UAW, in the next hour, so we'll have a little time for open lines as we begin the third hour of this program. Been kind of fun just to us at this point, hasn't it? Absolutely. Let's take a quick break here. I'm going to go, stretch my legs a little bit, exercise my right to scream, get rid of some of this anxiety and anger, and I'll be back. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got an accident out there. Said I'm southbound at 14 mile. It's on the shoulder. It's causing delays back to Rochester Road. But even once you get past 14 mile, traffic's not going to let up at all, really. all the way through 8th Mile. 275 northbound between Ann Arbor Road up to 96 and 14 interchange. You're going to find some delays there. 696 westbound as you get close to Woodward all the way through Southfield Road. You're going to find delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service, a dense fog advisory in effect until 10 a.m. with visibilities dropping below a quarter mile in some areas. Mostly sunny once the fog burns off, a high in the lower 70s tonight. Some fog late, partly cloudy otherwise, a low in the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, once again, partly sunny, some fog in the morning. Showers and thunderstorms in there as well, a high near 76. Currently, it's foggy and 56 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Truviano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, Libya's new transitional government has a seat at the United Nations General Assembly. CNN's Richard Roth reports President Obama and other Western leaders are anxious to be seen with the transitional leader who is in New York.
This is a good development for the Obama administration. They'll be able to champion at that meeting and with the other diplomats that their way did work. It looks so far, though their fighting does remain. And it helps solidify this new government in Libya. Now, the flag of that new government actually flew over the United Nations on Monday for the first time, removing that green Gaddafi flag.
Libya's revolutionary fighters are planning a massive attack on the city of Beni Walid today. It's one of the few towns still held by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. Gays in the U.S. military can now come out of the closet. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy ended at midnight. How could your weight affect your mind? CNN's Andy Rose reports a disease tied with obesity is now also associated with Alzheimer's disease.
The new study out of Japan suggests that people with diabetes are twice as likely to end up with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. They followed people over the course of 15 years. Researchers aren't sure why there could be a connection, but according to Health Magazine, some of them think high blood sugar puts stress on the blood vessels, and that affects blood flow to the brain. Andy Rose, CNN.
A new report suggests the U.S. is losing some of its economic freedom. SMU economics professor Robert Lawson says out-of-control government spending is one reason why.
Government spending is a negative in the Economic Freedom Index. Our view is that when governments take money from citizens and spend it, that they're less free to spend the money as if they wanted to themselves.
The report on economic freedom finds the U.S. has slipped from 6th to 10th in the world. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an Ageless Male. For your risk-free trial, 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is very little hope coming from the nation's job market right now, but a bright spot in an otherwise dark employment picture is coming from apps. The University of Maryland has released a study of the app industry and finds it has created hundreds of thousands of new jobs. Programs for Facebook alone have spurred creation of 182,000 jobs at least. Toys R Us has released its list of what it predicts will be the hottest toys for the holidays. It includes Elmo, but it's not Tickle Me, one of the biggest toy sensations of all time. This one is Let's Rock Elmo from Hasbro. The toys on Toys R Us's Fabulous 15 range in price from $6 Moshi Monsters to Mattel's Power Wheels Dune Racer, which costs $280. Stock futures moving higher ahead of Wall Street's opening bell. S&P futures gaining 10 points. NASDAQ futures up 22. Dow futures up 86. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you're part of running a business, you know your mind works differently.
Heating costs, cooling costs, reducing costs.
You've always got decisions on your mind.
How do I trim my budget back and still watch my employees' backs?
Choosing Aflac should be an easy decision. It's a way to enhance employee benefits at no direct cost to your business. Aflac is insurance for things like accidents or critical illness, and it pays cash benefits directly to help cover things major medical doesn't. It's like a safety net for your employees. And since it's voluntary, it doesn't cost your business a cent, because you've already got enough on your mind.
Taking care of business, taking care of my people.
Buy a plush duck for $10, and Aflac will donate $20 to the fight against childhood cancer. Join us in supporting critical research and medical breakthroughs at the Aflac Cancer Center. Join the cause at aflac.com/friends.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an Ageless Male. For your risk-free trial, 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
We use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Hour three of this Tuesday morning program. It's been a pretty fast couple hours, I got to tell you that. We've been talking all morning about President Obama's deficit reduction proposal, which is smart at a lot of levels. Of course, Republicans and especially the Tea Party folks are against it because it requires a tax increase for those making more money. And it's called a fair share program. Now, people don't see it that way, and I get that. But as we've worked our way throughout the morning, even the conservatives that have called the show, have not that they've had difficulty defending their position, they don't really have a leg to stand on. They want to maintain the status quo, and as I've been arguing all morning, quite honestly, if the status quo were working, we wouldn't be having the discussion. And it really is that simple. If you care to join us during this hour, feel free to do that. I want to remind you, in the next segment, UAW Vice President Cindy Estrada will be joining us. We'll get an update on negotiations with the state of Michigan for the public sector employees, state employees throughout the state of Michigan. She certainly will be able to comment on what's happening at General Motors, but again, the specifics will be made public at 11 o'clock this morning at a press conference with GM. Actually, it will not be with GM. UAW President Bob King, Vice President Joe Ashton, who was on the show just a month ago, will be giving the details of that plan, but we will be focusing more smartly, of course, on what's happening at the state level, which is Cindy's area of expertise. I do want to go to the phones. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Matt in Dearborn joins us now. Matt, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind today?
Well, Tony, I just wanted to congratulate you. I think in the last segment of the last hour, you covered all of the standard right-wing talking points against raising taxes on the rich, and you did it in like 10 minutes.
Well, you know, it's not that hard.
Well, you know, the first one I hear is, well, what is a fair percentage? Well, I don't know because I'm not an economist, but I do know the last president to balance a budget was Bill Clinton. So let's go back to those percentages for starters. How about that?
Well, if you know, here's the interesting thing. My friend Tom Hartman, who's heard noon to three on this station, actually has said if we were to roll back to the Clinton area tax breaks, we would not have a deficit within 3 years.
Yeah. The other one I hear is, so, well, if you're so generous, why don't you just send a check? The problem there is you can't plan for it and you can't budget for it. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, and that I mean, just logic tells you that. But I appreciate what they try to do. That sleight of hand, Matt, is quite creative, but it just doesn't work that way.
And the other one about the capital gains tax, about how that's you know, money that's already been taxed. For most people who are really rich, what they're investing is interest that's been earned on interest that's been earned on interest. And if you don't tax that, then you wind up with a permanent overclass. You know, it's the same reason we have an estate tax.
Absolutely. You know, again, Matt, it's I appreciate what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect their money. I get that. If I had... that kind of money, I'd be trying to protect more of it, too. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I just don't know. I've never had that kind of money, so it's hard for me to say.
Would be a nice problem to have.
And it would be a nice problem to have.
I'm just wondering, you know, I don't want to get conspiratorial here, but you do hear these things about the right-wing think tanks paying people to call political talk shows to spread these talking points, and I'm just wondering if some of these people might be paid callers.
I don't think this morning, and I don't think this show is quite big enough for that. When I was doing national radio, there was a trend. It was real. No, that is real. It is true. You know, there are right-wing think tanks that do. There are people that they pay to blog and people that they pay to call radio shows. Absolutely.
Yeah, we had some of that evidence during the Bush administration. Well, I just wanted to thank you, Tony, for doing what you're doing. It's really important. So, thank you.
Matt, I do appreciate it. I appreciate your call this morning. You know, Jeff, that is true. There was a time when, and I'm sure it still happens. I know it will happen when we get to closer to the general election, the presidential. But they actually do pay people to do that, to blog on websites.
Whoa.
There you go, guys. Hang up the phone. You know, they do pay guys to actually blog on websites and to call radio shows. I mean, they actually pay them to do that.
It's all about getting that message out.
Nah, I don't know about that, but all about getting your message out.
Well, that's their point.
Oh, man. Interesting stuff. Well, you know, let's for a moment switch your gears and talk a little bit about right-wing media. There's a guy out there by the name of Andrew Breitbart, and Andrew is very much a, I don't even want to call him a conservative. I think Tea Party would be too good for this guy. He is a neo-right-wing whack job. And he has made quite a name for himself as citizen journalist. No question that's true. And he was speaking recently, and do you happen to know when that he gave this speech?
This just came out. I just found it yesterday, last night. So I'm assuming it was
recently.
Recent.
All right. Well, this is what just a couple clips from his speech before a group of Tea Party enthusiasts in Florida, I believe.
And so there are times where I'm not thinking as clearly as I should. And in those unclear moments, I always think to myself, fire the first shot. Bring it on. Because I know who's on our side. And they know that they can only win a rhetorical and propaganda war. They cannot win. We outnumber them in this country, and we have the gun. So they, I'm not kidding. They talk to me in game, but they will not cross that line because they know what they're dealing with.
They know what they're dealing with.
And he says, we have the gun. We outnumber them, and we have the guns. And everyone kind of chuckles, and he's like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, and he was serious, and I don't know that that's true, but he was serious, no question. So what does right-wing neocon Andrew Breitbart think about unions?
Well, push comes to shove. They know who's on our side. They are the bullies on the playground, and they're starting to realize, what if we were to fight back? What if we were to slap back? You know, these union thugs, these public sector union thugs, I'm just waiting. Bring it on. I am sick of it. I'm sick of this Trump guy. I'm sick of this John Sweeney. I'm sick of the SEIU. There's just a part of me that wants them to walk over that line.
Well, if, you know, for all intents and purposes, Andrew, John Sweeney hasn't been the president of the SEIU for a while now, so maybe you need to update your address book. Let me just say it like that. This is the kind of stuff that right-wingers love to do. They like to incite violence. I, by the way, am working on a segment I don't want to give you too much information in case it doesn't work out, that really kind of focuses on right-wing media and what we can do to try to shut it down. And it's a very real and very legal way to do it. and we'll be getting to that in very short order. To go back to the economy, to bring it back local, to share with you, you know, the Republicans in the state of Michigan, of course, have, you know, rewritten our tax code here in the state of Michigan. This wasn't just about cutting funding to schools. There was a whole lot more that went on. You'll recall that, you know, we talked about, you know, in with respect to closing loopholes. Well, they've done that here in the state of Michigan. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not. And it's all going to depend on your perspective. And I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth here, folks. So don't go there quite yet. Let me say what I got to say first. One of the things under the new tax plan that Governor Rick Snyder and the Republican legislature put together is you can no longer write off a tax deduction. As a charitable deduction, you can no longer write it off as a tax deduction. And, you know, that's considered special interest, and we're just not going there anymore. Period. But as we take a look at the tax code, this is what we know that has happened. In fact, on MLive.com, Todd can find it, and he'll post it to the Facebook page. The name of the article is Michigan Income Tax Overhaul is Going to Cost You and Maybe Your Favorite Nonprofits. All right? But there is an entire list of numbers that are just the tax reform by the numbers that are just amazing. $1.4 billion increase in income taxes in the first full year. $1.6 billion in reduced business taxes. So that $1.4 billion comes from you and I. The $1.6 billion goes away from businesses. $343 million on new pension taxes in the first year, which we've heard a great deal about. Now, the Supreme Court is considering the constitutionality of that entire package of pensions. But depending on when you were born depends on whether or not you're going to have to pay a percentage of your pension, which was non-taxable up until this governor and this legislature. And if you for a minute think the governor would have ran by telling the truth on this, that he would have got elected, think again. $262 million will be raised by reducing the earned income tax credit. Thank you from the caller earlier, Mike in Westland. They're reducing the earned income tax credit. There will be a 0% change for exemptions for disabled taxpayers and disabled veterans, which is good. And the list goes on and on and on. We'll get that posted to the Facebook page, and that way you folks can take a look for yourself. But this is not good news for the average person, because although businesses will be paying considerably less, the average Michigander will be paying a lot more. Gee, that's fair share, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think so. Cindy Estrada on the other side of this. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break here on First Shift. Stay with us. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got some problems out there on 75 first southbound at 14 mile, an accident there on the shoulder. Delays on 75 southbound from Rochester Road all the way down through 8 mile. Northbound side is backed up too because of an accident at 11 mile. 696 westbound between 75 all the way up to Evergreen, you're going to find delays there too. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, a dense fog advisory for the entire area through 10 a.m. today, but once that burns off in some of the outlying areas, mostly sunny, a high near 72. Tonight, some fog late once again, partly cloudy, a low around 57. And then tomorrow, once again, we've got some sun, but a chance for some showers and storms in there as well. A high in the lower 70s. Currently, it's foggy and 51 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. Mmm, the steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
And it's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, and let me get right to my guest as promised. And I'm anxious to do this. There's a lot of information that we need to get out. Joining me now is Cindy Estrada. She, of course, visits with us every month. She was kind enough to allow us to visit with Joe Ashton, who was with us last month. She joins us today. Let me remind you that Sydney is intimately involved as the lead spokesperson for a coalition of unions that is negotiating with the state of Michigan. That coalition includes the UAW Local 6000, which is who Cindy represents, the Michigan Professional Employees, SEIU, the Michigan Corrections Officers, AFSCME, there's some important work being done. But first of all, Cindy, let me welcome you back, and thank you for giving us some time this morning. I know how very busy you are right now.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be here.
I appreciate it. Obviously, there's going to be a press conference this morning at 11 o'clock where the details of the agreement with General Motors will be made clear. Bob King and Joe Ashton will be delivering that. I'm not asking you to give us details this morning. Just quickly, your impressions of what you're familiar with. I know you've been more intimately involved in other negotiations, so I don't even know if you have all the details, to be honest, Cindy. But from what I'm reading, this looks like a pretty good deal for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think it's real important because it not only addresses the employees that, have been there a long time, but also the entry-level workers, which I think is really important that we're looking at all the workers in total. So I'm excited about it addressing issues in terms of the entry level.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, we're going to look forward to those details. There's a press conference this morning, and we'll look forward to those details at 11 a.m. Cindy, as we take a look at where you're at in the process, give us, if you would, just a quick update before I get into some more specifics. How are things going with your negotiations with the state?
We're proceeding. I mean, we're pretty excited because we came out with, I talked on a show before about a new solutions report where all the unions, we've gotten together to really get the state and the governor to look at some of the problems that we see happening in the state that's causing the state to be inefficient and also not allowing us to provide the services that citizens deserve. And a couple of those are looking at the management ratio in the state. We have a 5.8 to 1, which means for every 5.8 workers, there's one manager, which is outrageous. And, you know, a lot of waste there. When you look at other states like Iowa and Texas, for example, they've gone to a 1-11 ratio. And other states, you know, looking at a 1-20. So, you know, we're excited because the governor has come out and said that he acknowledges that, you know, here's what we're saying and he's going to look into it. But we can't be an efficient state government when we have so many management.
Well, you know, that's the part that really kind of confuses me, because logic would dictate when you have the management to worker ratio that is so very low, the 5.8-1, doesn't that just kind of scream at you, Cindy, that there's going to be inefficiency, that's top heavy no matter what the quote unquote organization is?
No, it does scream at you, and it tells you that, again, we have, you know, so many management in there. And the other piece of our new solutions report is that the other thing that screams at you is that they're not really workers on the front lines. They have all kinds of examples of how we can make government more efficient. You know, just to give you, and no one's listening. I mean, you think with that much management, at least you'd be heard, but it's the opposite. One example is just to fill out an application in the state to get services, which we know a lot of our citizens are asking for them now because of lack of jobs. But it's get this, Tony, a 38-page application.
Are you serious?
If you want to get any kind, and 18 of those 38 pages are instructions. Now our workers have been telling the state that, look, we can make this more efficient. We can go to a, you know, a 5, a 10-page application so that the services, when a citizen comes in, it's not such a frustrating experience. I tried to sit down and fill out the application, and, you know, I had to put it down after 45 minutes. I could barely get through the 18 pages of instructions. I think if management sat down with workers and said, how do you think this could be done better? How could it be a shorter, more clear application? Our workers can tell them, but you got to ask. And you got to listen to what they have to say.
Well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, that just blows my mind. But, you know, it's clear to me, and I would think that maybe some of these recommendations have not found their way to the top to decision makers, because that layer of management who likes to be management, that, and I'm just going to suggest, not that they don't work hard, but certainly they're protecting their job. As a manager, you're probably making more money. You know, you've got your little power trip going on, and I get all that. But Cindy,
you know what?
I have to wonder, are people really willing to sacrifice their coworkers just to save their own job? Because that's what managers are doing by allowing this to happen.
I think if you talk to the middle management, they would agree with us. I think in this case, in the state, it's different. I don't think it's them protecting their jobs. I think they want the same kind of efficiencies. The problem is the legislature and the state wanting to do business the way they normally do business. And the way they normally do business is when there's a problem, they turn to the citizens of the state to bail them out, and they also turn to the workers. And I think what we're saying to the governor is, like, our workers have given $4 billion over the last 10 years. And so we're saying, you know what, you're not going to come to the workers just anymore. You need to look at the inefficiency. So unlike other situations, I think middle management here, you know, want the same thing. It's whether or not the legislature is listening and actually the people over the middle management. And we're saying to them, we're not going to do business as usual. This is a different day. And if we did business as usual, Tony, we would give them concessions again, and we'd still be back here next year.
Well,
because until they fix the real problems, which is privatization, which is the management ratio, and the lack of listening to workers on how to improve the job so that citizens are providing better or getting better services.
You know, Cindy, if I remember correctly, I believe you shared with this audience the last time you were here that the program that you guys are talking about, you know, the work that you've done, the new solutions report that you've put together, would actually save the amount of money the governor said he needed in concessions. Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, just for example, if you take one manager and put them in, there's vacancies that, you know, there's positions that need to be filled in the state. If you took one manager and put them back, you know, in a job, in a non-supervisory job, one manager would save $75 million, we think, approximately. And that's just one at the ratio that it currently is right now. So, you know, in privatization, for example, you know, we believe in shared sacrifice, but they've not gone to these contractors to say they need to give shared sacrifice. That would save, you know, millions and millions, you know, close to $100 million. So there's a lot of savings there. And can I talk a minute about contractors, privatization in the state?
Yeah, absolutely. We're about a minute away from break. So what we don't finish in this segment, we'll get to in the next, Cindy.
Well, what we're finding is that there's a lot of waste in contracting out in the state. Everyone believes, you know, that it means less government, but we're finding is actually that state workers can do it cheaper, that contractors are not only more expensive, but the fact that some of these jobs are, they're actually not providing the service, for example, to our veterans. And so I'd like to talk about that after break.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good place to take a little break. So we will do that. Cindy Estrada, again, my guest, vice president with the United Auto Workers. She's also designated as the lead spokesperson for this coalition of state unions, state workers unions that are fighting for a fair and just contract under the collective bargaining process. With Cindy at the helm, I feel very confident the end game will be clear. And if they listen to what they've put together, if the government listens to what these folks have done, they can end this pretty quickly. The question is, will they? And we'll get to that question. We've also got callers coming in. So if you'd like to join us, if you have a question for Cindy Estrada, now's the time to do it. 888-552-3595. Jim in Plymouth, you'll be up next. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on Saturday southbound from Rochester Road down through 8 Mile, 696 eastbound through the Mixing Bowl. You're going to find some slowdowns there, too. Westbound side of 696, slow between 75 out through Evergreen. I'll rest with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, looking at some fog this morning. Obviously, if you're in an outlying area, you're seeing some of that right now. Visibility's below a quarter mile in some spots. Mostly sunny once it does burn off, a high near 72. Partly cloudy, a low around 57 tonight. And then tomorrow, showers and with maybe a thunderstorm in there as well. Fog before 8 a.m. once again. High near 73 degrees. Currently, it's foggy and 51 at Detroit Metro Airport.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Our Walmart is a workers' movement taking Walmart worker demands for respect on the job directly to the corporate home office. Angie Rodriguez says on top of low wages, too few hours, and a general lack of respect for workers on the job, Walmart has also steadily increased their workload.
When I started with Walmart 7 years ago, I used to work only one department. Now they make me work three departments, and it gives me a lot of stress.
Our Walmart has taken a declaration for respect directly to Walmart's home office to drive home the point that the problems of low wages, too few hours, erratic work schedules, and other issues are not individual problems, but rather a systemic problem throughout the entire Walmart organization. AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Liz Shuler says the labor movement is working hard to forge new connections with young workers. She says that young workers have been hard hit by unemployment, but they're organizing to fight for their future.
It's double that of the national unemployment rate at 18.1%. Student loans are casting a heavy burden on young people as well. They can't afford homes. They, in some cases, can't even financially take care of themselves. So, in many ways, this truly is becoming what some people are referring to as the lost generation.
The AFL-CIO's Next Up conference for young workers will be held in Minneapolis September 29th through October 2nd. A new book is out that looks at the impact of women on the gaming community. Jesse Russell spoke with the author.
Casino Women, Courage in Unexpected Places was co-authored by Jill B. Jones and Susan Chandler, who spoke with female casino workers to tell the story of the often invisible employees. The book contrasts the heavily unionized Las Vegas casino culture to the much less so Reno casino culture. Wynn spoke with Jones on Monday, and she explained that one of the benefits of a union having your back in a casino is much less ageist gender discrimination.
If you're working in a unionized property, you don't expect to be either fired or transferred to another department when you reach the point where you no longer look like you're 20 years old. Or, you know, we had a lot of cocktail waitresses in non-unionized properties that talked about the kind of pressure that was brought to bear.
The authors discovered union hotels are able to focus more on service and less on managing physical appearances. Jones gave the example of one cocktail waitress who had her retirement party while they were researching the book.
This woman spent her whole lifetime serving cocktails, and she said it really wasn't about, you know, sexual allure. She said it was about providing service.
For the full interview with Jill B. Jones, visit our website at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's new. It's blue. It's from Mucinex. New Fast Max Liquids. Your worst cold symptoms are about to meet their match. Fast Max is the first multi-symptom liquid for adults from Mucinex. Mr. Mucus and his friends won't know what hit them. Mucinex in, mucus out. Use as directed.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. I am Tony Trupiano. Again, my guest, Cindy Estrada. She's with us every month, even though she is mired in the middle of intense contract negotiations. She has taken a pause to join us this morning, which we greatly appreciate.
Tony?
Yes, Cindy. Yep, we're here. Cindy, do you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you right now.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for being here, and I just want to welcome you back to the show. Before we get to the caller, Cindy, before the break, you know, we were talking about, you know, one of the things that, of course, I think is critical in this process is that you're being heard. Do you feel, I mean, the governor says the right things, but do you feel like you are being heard in this process?
I believe in terms of the management ratio, worker to management ratio, I think he's serious about looking into that issue. The privatization, he's made some comments that, but we'd have to see more. But in terms of the management worker ratio, you know, he's a business guy. I think he's very pragmatic. And so we believe he's going to look into that. Now, whether or not he's going to say that, you know, therefore we're not going to, you know, go and ask workers for concessions, I don't believe that that's necessarily the case. You know, my question is, I think the governor on some of these issues would do the right thing. It's whether or not he can communicate that to the legislature. And like I said before in the immigration issue, we really saw him lead. He needs to lead on this issue. That means that he needs to make it clear to the people underneath him and the legislature that this needs to be fixed.
Yeah, well,
and not play politics.
That is very true. Let's get to the phones very quickly here. Jim in Plymouth joins us now. Jim, thank you for your patience and waiting on hold for so long. You have a question or comment for Cindy Estrada?
Yes, I have a question. I understand that Ms. Estrada suggested some things to the governor about eliminating some managerial supervisory positions, but, you know, some of those positions that might be getting looked at for getting rid of are union people and are in labor unions that are international that are affiliated with the AFL. So is she advocating that you ought to go after brothers and sisters in the union and get rid of their jobs who happen to be supervisors? I mean, if that's
Jim, let Cindy answer the question, please.
We're definitely not advocating that, Tim. In fact, what we're advocating is that we have a management ratio, management to worker ratio that makes sense. There's 1,300 unfilled vacancies right now in the state, and so some of those can be filled by some of the supervisors. They would go back into the jobs that they were doing. We're not advocating that people get fired or that they lose their job. We're saying that we need to take a serious look at readjusting the way that, you know, services are delivered and who's in those jobs. There's clearly enough jobs for everyone. It's just whether or not we need that many people supervising versus on the front lines.
Well, and I think that makes complete sense. So, Cindy, I think you've done more than satisfy the answer to that question. Let's just go back and talk about privatization just a little bit more. I know that, you know, one of the things is you want to reduce reliance on privatization by 10%. You know, 10% doesn't seem like that large a number, but obviously if you're proposing it, Cindy, it must represent a big chunk of dollars is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, we're seeing that it could be, you know, hundreds of million, you know, up to $100 million just on that. But even more important than that 10% is when contracts are given out. There's very little oversight. There's very little of looking together on whether or not it actually saves money. So an example, the Vets Hospital in Grand Rapids, right? They contracted out the work for the caregivers there, and it was supposed to be that it saved money. We can demonstrate that it doesn't save money, but not only that, the quality of care is not what they were getting at the state. Just in the last couple weeks, we've had major accidents at that hospital. One worker was not lifted properly and broke, it's at the vet's home, I'm sorry, but one worker broke his neck because he was lifted improperly. There's been other cases where workers were supposed to get a certain kind of food and they weren't given it and it ended up in their hospitalization. And so the patients aren't being taken care of in the way that they need to be taken care of. I mean, these are our veterans who fought wars for us, yet they're going into a home and the services have been contracted out, no longer done by state workers, and they're not getting the high quality of care. There's a problem, and we think that that needs to be investigated.
Well, you know, there's no question, and I guess at some level, and what I think it's a fairly obvious question, are these people that are being contracted, I'm assuming they're not as well trained, or we certainly wouldn't be seeing these problems. And not only are they not, I'm suggesting, are they not as well trained, but they probably have a different protocol to follow than the state workers did.
Right, there's not that, you know, they're not as invested in the care. They're not getting paid really good money. The contractor doesn't care about, you know, the job in the way that the frontline workers who are working for the state do. I mean, this worker, you know, I don't blame the worker who improperly lifted our veteran because, you know, we're seeing they're not even trained properly. So I don't think that they meant to break his neck. But the fact is it happened because the lack of training, the lack of oversight, and it's not fair to those veterans who gave their life for our country to be suffering that kind of pain.
Well, I mean, that's neglect. I mean, Cindy, I mean, that's just inhumane treatment.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just one example. But so again, we're showing, you know, what we want to do is we want to be a part of that discussion. If we're going to contract something out, then it means the quality of care or service is going to be just as high for our citizens of Michigan, and meaning that it's actually going to save us money. And we're finding the opposite in many of those cases.
Cindy Estrada, again, my guest, vice president with the UAW. Cindy, help define something for me. I was reading something, and it said that one of the things that you're looking to do in this negotiation is establish a lean work practices. What are lean work practices? I just don't think I understand what that means.
So it's part of what we did in Ottawa. It means that you're actually sitting down with workers, getting their solutions to problems. You know, who better knows how to make something more efficient, how to do a job better than the workers who deliver it every day? And so what we're saying to the state of the Michigan, just like we did in Otto, is, you know, management and workers need to change the culture and the relationship that they have so that they're working together to create more efficiencies that help the citizens of Michigan. And so that's really what lean is. It's actually listening and letting the workers be the ones to help implement changes because they know what needs to be changed. Any worker in the state of Michigan can tell you how their job can be done in a more efficient way to provide better services.
Yeah, but it kind of begs the question, if this is something that you're recommending, then it's not something that's currently being done. Is that the way I understand that?
Not in the way that it can be done. I think there's a lot of, you know, let's sit down with workers and see what they feel, but when it comes to actually let's sit down and let's create an efficiency and let's implement it, and, you know, let's have a real system that's going to lead to results, that's not being done.
You know, to me, this is a real teaching opportunity, Cindy Estrada, because what I'm hearing you say is through the collective bargaining process, this could actually be something that is in the contract. It therefore allows a boilerplate, if you will, on how to move forward. This isn't about correcting what was done in the past. It's about how to more efficiently work moving forward, right?
Yeah, and part of, you know, we're working with Governor Snyder on this piece. Actually, you know, a lot of times they say the union is old school in not, you know, in not looking out for the best interests of the company or the state. The fact is, in 1991, we negotiated at committee in our contract that says jointly with management and workers, we would work toward creating efficiencies. We would look at privatization, ways to help the state run better, right? The problem is no one in government, you know, on the top end is really taking it seriously. So we really look at this as an opportunity. You know, we have a governor who, you know, supposedly understands business, right? So, you know, part of understanding that is no business is successful without the workers. And so we're hoping that he's really going to listen, that this is a different day in light of what we saw with the auto crisis and how workers and management work together to make that those companies more successful. Let's do the same in the state.
Yeah,
we've been asking for it since 1991. Let's do it.
You know, and I'm not trying to oversimplify this, but isn't it a healthier, a better workplace when an employee, when an integral worker in the workplace feels like they're heard? I mean, I know that that sounds oversimplistic, but I have to think that that matters for something.
You know, I think it does, and I think that's why the workers in the state are excited about this coalition, because we're all coming together as unions to really take this issue on and to really, you know, say that enough's enough. We care about the state of Michigan, but the only way that we're really going to be able to make change is if you listen to us. And when they're listened to, they do feel better. I mean, who wouldn't feel better if a worker who, just an example, in Department of Human Services, this application I talked about, they have 700 caseloads of families or kids who are in foster care, those kind of things, right? The norm is 300 to 400. So they're looking at 700 applications that are 38 pages long. They would feel better if they could give better services, help that citizen fill out the application, be able to look at the applications in a more efficient way or quicker way to get the services to people. So all of that's going to make them feel better about the job and providing the services, because really they come into the state because they want to help. You know, it's not about the money if you talk to these workers.
Well, there's
no question. You do this kind of work because you care.
There's no question that's true. I know that we've had that discussion before. And for people to think that this is just about money, these people don't go into these fields for the money. There's a very altruistic element to this, Cindy. And I'm not being Pollyanna-ish here. It's true. I mean, you know, my family has been intimately involved in foster care since I was a child, since I was a kid. I've known lots of social workers. I've never met one that part of their plan to become wealthy, Cindy, was to work for the state of Michigan.
No, and our workers experience a lot of heartache and a lot of frustration. Could you imagine trying to help a kid who's in foster care, but because the computer system is so messed up or archaic and no one's listening to the workers about it, or because they can't fill out the application right and they get denied a million, you know, not a million times, I'm exaggerating, but they get denied enough times where they're not getting, you know, the food stamps, they're not getting the benefits, they're not getting into, you know, into the right foster home, and all of those as a worker and a social worker is so heartbreaking to watch.
And it's real.
And
it's real. Cindy, we got to take one more quick break. Just 3 minutes. Everybody stay with us. We'll be back on the other side of this. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
For contractors, business comes from bids. And better bids start at the Home Depot, where right now, you can save 15% on special order windows and doors. That means putting great brands and great quality into any job at an even better price. So if you're a pro, get that 15% savings, then get ready to lower your estimates, be more competitive, and bring on the business. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through September 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote.
We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Great, more construction.
Yeah, it must be for a new sidewalk.
How do you know?
You see those levers on the cement truck that look like arms on a slot machine?
Oh, good eye. Tracy?
Yeah, she still feels it. She's been to MGM Grand Detroit with our expansive gaming floor that includes 4,000 winning slots.
Come on, big money!
Man, we need that cement.
It's time to play at MGM Grand Detroit.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers. Retirees are reaching out to me this morning as well, Bob, and wanting to know if you're going to protect their interests in this latest round of negotiations with the auto companies.
We greatly honor and respect our retirees, so we've always been very strong in their passion to support and help retirees. We are very, very mindful of our retirees and helping them and honoring all the contributions they've made.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. Just about 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Cindy Estrada, Vice President of the United Auto Workers, is my guest. Cindy, let's talk a little bit about process here, a little bit about schedule. Of course, it is after the 14th of September, which I understood was a key date. How do we proceed from here with regards to negotiations? What are some of the key dates moving forward?
Well, we filed, it's very standard that we ask for impasse assistance. And so, we filed for that. It doesn't mean that bargaining's not continuing to go on. It also, so the next date is October 14th. And that's when we have to have all of our information submitted. So that's probably the next key date. That means if we can't come to an agreement, that we're going to go to the Civil Service Commission and, each side write down our key issues. And really, November 11th is a deadline for the impasse panel assistance, and that's when we'd go into hearings. But we're hoping that we would we'll have an agreement. That's still our hope. We're continuing to bargain, and so we're still hopeful, and especially because the governor's acknowledged that there's some serious problems in the state.
Well, and there's no question, but he's also being secretive, Cindy, about his contingency plan if things don't go well with negotiations. In fact, they're refusing and refused a Freedom of Information Act request to find out what their contingency plan was with regard to firing. And they're not using the word laying off, firing state employees if a contract agreement isn't reached. I'm sure that this is information that you have. And I can't imagine you like the sound of the way they're proceeding.
No, again, I mean, I think that's, him allowing people underneath him. And that's, the question that I have with the governor. We really need him to lead. And that means that he's going to have to get much more involved, I think, in this process. The piece that we're excited about is they were talking about layoffs, and the governor stopped that, sent out a memo, and said that he wants to look at the management to worker ratio.
Well, when I reported that, Cindy, that had you written all over it. As soon as that he announced that, I knew you got to him. I knew that for sure.
Well, one thing he's been good about is meeting with with the unions, and we've had the opportunity, to really talk about this new solutions. I'm excited that he's actually looking at it. Again, we're going to take this day by day because looking at it's not enough, and then we need to do something about it, right? But we got to look at the victories that we have and go from there.
And I, this is going to sound like a silly question, but I have to ask it. You have this coalition. You have been chosen as their spokesperson, Coalition of Unions. How is that working out? Is that dynamic working out for you folks?
Yeah, it's working out great. I'm really excited about it because I don't see this as just a coalition for the purpose of bargaining. I see this long term, especially in terms of the privatization piece. We really need to expose what is happening inside the state when it comes to contractors. Again, you know, for the benefit of our citizens more than anything. And so I think there's a commitment by the coalition that we're going to continue to work on these issues. We're going to continue to work on the lean piece, which is working together with management workers to create efficiencies. We're going to continue to, you know, be working on the manager-to-worker ratio and especially the privatization. So this is a long-term project, and everyone's excited about it.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. I'm thrilled to hear that. We've got to get to I'm going to have to let you go here in just a minute. We've got some announcements that we need to get to. But Cindy, I got to tell you, something wonderful happened to me on Labor Day. I was asked to walk in the parade with UAW Local 174. You know a little bit about them, folks.
It's my local.
Don't you?
Well, they have, my local.
They have adopted me, and they asked me to join their Fair Trade Committee, which I've done. We're meeting on a bi-monthly basis, and what a wonderful group of people there, Cindy. And I just feel so blessed that they've come into my life. I really do.
You know, I'm not supposed to say this because I'm a vice president and I work for all our members, but that is my local, and you're lucky to be a part of that local because it's a great group of people.
It really, truly is a great group of people, and I'm telling
you. And they're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, we'll look forward to next month, and in the meantime, my thoughts and prayers are with you and the entire committee negotiating this contract. And if there's anything we can do between now and your next visit, you know all you need to do is give me a call and it's done.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Cindy Estrada, Vice President of the United Auto Workers. Jeff, before I get to these announcements, you have to admit, she's one dynamic labor leader.
I know we should have her on more than once a month. How's that
sound? I wish we could. I got a hard enough time getting her once a month. She's a busy, busy lady. I mean, she's a really busy lady. But yeah, I've got my hands full getting her once a month. Thrilled to have her, though. Thrilled to have her. Just really great. Let me mention a couple things real quick. One of them is coming up this Thursday at 10:30 a.m. It's the Thursday Forum at the library at the Birmingham Temple on West 12 Mile between Inkster and Middlebelt and Farmington Hills. It's a forum entitled Congressional and Legislative Redistricting, What It Means for You. Oakland County Treasurer Andy Meisner and Elsa Schartzis are the speakers. Harry Cook will introduce the topic and lead the discussion. There is a $5 admission, no charge for students. And so if you would like to attend that, that's this Thursday, September 22nd at 10:30 a.m. At the Birmingham Temple Library on 12 Mile between Inkster and Middlebelt in Farmington Hills. And as a result of the conversation that Jeff had with Roscoe Woods last week, next Tuesday, September 27th, between 4 and 5:30 p.m. is a day of action to save the American Postal Service. It's going to be held at the office of Representative Candace Miller, which is at 48701 Van Dyke in Shelby Township. For more information, just please go to their website, www.apwu480.org, apwu480.org, and I will certainly be bringing both of these up again before their respective times. And man, oh man, where did the day go, Radford? Where did the day go? I don't know, but it's gone.
I don't know either.
Jeez.
At time for a first or last word, or are you going to save it for
tomorrow? You know what? How much time do I actually have left?
40 seconds.
No, we're going to save it for tomorrow. I just don't have time. That's okay. I had Cindy Estrada. That's all I need. That's all I need. That'll do it for us today. For Jeff and Todd, who, of course, make all this happen, I appreciate everything they do. Thank you so much. And, of course, you, the dear audience, we wouldn't do it without you and couldn't do it without you, and so we do it with you. Yeah, that made sense. Okay. I'm pretty high on today's show. I mean, I feel really good about what happened today.
I'm high on life.
I'm high on life. Unfortunately now I've got to sit through a couple press conferences today, which is not always a lot of fun, by the way. But I got to do it, so I will. I actually have the UAW press conference today. And then I have a press conference with Senator Debbie Stabenow that I have to sit through. It's always good information. It just takes up a lot of time. But, you know, that's what I mean. I'm here to serve, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to serve. Anyway, thank you all so very much. Again, tomorrow, Mark Gaffney, Stephen Henderson. So we've got a great show. On Thursday, the coffee party. We've got the We Party Patriots coming up. We have so much in store for you. I tell you, yes, we do. All right, that'll do it for me. I'm Tony Truppiano, off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slowdowns out there on the freeways right now. 696 westbound from Cousins to Woodward. That's a little bit slow because there is an accident Woodward on the shoulder. 75 southbound, we're still seeing some delays from 14 mile all the way down through the 94 interchange at a couple of different pockets. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, some fog through about 10 a.m., mostly sunny on your 73. Tonight, areas of fog after 2 a.m., partly cloudy, low in the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, showers, a thunderstorm in there as well, partly sunny otherwise, a high near 76. Currently, it's fair and 54 degrees at Detroit Metro Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Identify yourself, please.